This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, 7 o'clock. It is live from Central Phoenix. This is Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee. That rhymed. I didn't mean it to, but it just did. We are in studio, as we are each and every Friday from 7 to 10 p.m., coming to you from the heart of a city that just broke a heat record for today. We went up 1 degree. Our high today was, I believe it was 81, and our record was 80.
Oh, I had the windows open and slept
beautiful
right
day.
Through.
Yeah. So happy. Beautiful day, beautiful day. With us in studio normally is the regular cast of Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. But with us tonight, because Katie is a busy, busy woman with the HRC, Stacey Lewis is here. Stacey, yay!
Hello.
I'm so excited.
You can get closer to the mic, that way people can hear you. You can pull it towards you. Don't be afraid.
I'm excited. It's great to be here with such great people.
We're loving it.
I'm not sure where the great people are, but I hope they arrive.
I think they're coming. They're going to be late today instead of me.
I hope to run into them as well.
I was surprised to see you in the driveway so early.
I know.
What happened?
I don't know.
Just the right traffic lights, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't know Stacey was coming, and I was this close to being late, and I'm like, well, I can't let him just be alone.
Well, and I didn't know you were here, because I looked up real quick when I was making a phone call. I saw you out in the driveway, and I thought,
he's looking for friends.
Is it going to be Clayton and I right now? What's going on? So that's fantastic.
Right.
That would be funny.
No, it is. It is all for. No, I was looking for Stacey because I thought he was just outside. I didn't know where he was because he's never been here. So anyhow, I was looking for him, but then I'm like, oh well, my God, Marnie's there. Yeah. By the way, in case you don't realize, Stacey, you're also on video, so people can also see you as well. Here, there's your camera right there, Stacey Lewis, right there.
How not exciting!
Yeah, hey, for you or for others,
he handled that quite well. I like it.
So, can I be mildly nasty or
fuck
not?
Yeah. Well, you can. You got half a finger to put somebody off with. Yeah. Of course. In fact, one of our favorite words starts with a C, and oftentimes we refer to brewer. So, but any number of things you can say, Stacey, you'll be completely fine. Cool. Also, if you're joining
us, like to have a mug, you can have a mug.
Oh, our cat mugs. I don't know.
You said that right there.
So far, listening right now to the audio only stream, we have Kuwait, the U.S., and the Russian Federation is probably.
Well, Sochi's getting ready.
Right. So they're probably just tracking everybody.
Gearing up.
To make sure. Yeah. Don't know about
can
that.
They see me too?
Well, sure they can.
Oh, shit.
Well, no. Actually, that's the audio only stream. There are. I'm going to look and see if I can figure out on the video stream who is out there.
Kuwait and the Kuwait's been listening for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, somebody has been listening from there, and we encourage you to go to our chat room.
The Russian Federation is new.
Chat room.
I mean, they're not new. Right. I feel like it's been around since the 80s.
Somewhere in there.
Right.
The Soviet Union somehow disappeared.
They're gone.
Right, are gone.
They're gone.
Oh, funny.
Yes. Well, typically is what we do, Stacey, when we start out each and every show. And don't be afraid to answer texts and take phone calls. Well, taking a phone call, you might have to leave the room, depending. But feel free to text.
No, it's just a what do you call that, a trick? But I'll get back to it later.
Oh, good.
Now, let me clarify something.
Played.
He asked me on the text as we were going back and forth if I was going to embarrass him. He's already doing it to himself. Yeah. So I'm clearly not having to do much to do with that.
Get there in your own time.
Yes. We're going to get there as fast as you speak. But anyway, Stacey, what we normally do, we just kind of go around the table, say hi to everybody, and find out what's been going on. So I would go to you. How's life? What's up?
Life is wonderful. I have great friends. I have Clayton helping me whenever I need it. I have a wonderful new bar that everybody is just so happy about.
Is it called the Incognito?
No.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Indian school.
Wow, Marty.
And there it goes.
I just pulled that one right out of the hat.
If we asked Clayton, it would be called Charlie's.
Fuck you.
Charlie South.
Charlie South.
Tell us about this little place you have.
Yes.
It's called Stacey's at Melrose, and it's in the old Sanctum building, the old E-Lounge building, mm-hmm. the old Foster's.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And Foster's works with me. He's a great guy. He's a good bartender.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I opened 8 months ago, almost to the day, and it's just been really popular. I'm really glad that people like what I've done and staying different and having just people compliment me all the time. Wait a minute, let's make this the Let's be happy, Stacy.
Yeah, very good.
You, you almost sound like Al for a minute because he talks about himself a lot.
I'll be supporting you in a minute, Al. Did they see your finger?
Yeah, exactly. I just found out it's Don Lemon's favorite jester, so I'm all on board.
Okay.
All the gays are doing it.
All the gays and the blacks. Very busy. Good for them. Oh, but no, I think it's wonderful to have your markers. Other ones, for whatever reason, they didn't work out. Foster's was a good time back 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But to talk to Jay Foster, he still thinks it is 20 years ago because he still thinks he's young. I don't know why. some delusional thing that Jay Foster's
got.
But I'm so happy. You made some great improvements to the building, the patio. I think you're the only bar that I know of in town that has two patios. You've got a front and a back patio. And you can drink on both, smoke on both if you need to, for those people who do that. Yeah. And but no, it's fantastic. And you, this past weekend, you had the She Lounge, which was the E Lounge, a reunion party,
yeah.
And it was insane. I was there for a while. That. It was insane.
Yeah. Oh, I saw the
episode.
Now that's super weird that I
couldn't even move.
Yeah.
Oh, I attempted New Year's at your fine establishment and promptly left.
Yeah. he texted me.
When there's too much the crowds, huh?
Yeah, there's too much estrogen somewhere, I have to leave.
Oh, no, this was just too many just like, people. There was
New Year's was off the hook,
not
too.
Not New Year's, but for
the E-Lounge.
Oh, the She-Lounge?
Yeah. And I'm really proud of them. There were no fights that I knew of.
Nope.
Oddly.
Oh, the lesbians fight?
Oh, they all fight. They all want to fight. All that testosterone running around there.
Testrogen.
Whatever you call it.
Testrogen.
Yeah. Is it over the advertised softball scores? Like, what are they fighting over?
I don't know, right?
Oh, they are. Well, and what's funny about...
They get nasty.
Well, some of them, they very much do.
They all like dogs. I mean, just talk about that for a while.
Not all of them do.
Not all of them.
Oh, really?
Tammy Bops likes them. Yeah. Aaron likes them.
Yeah. I think they're okay.
Yes, they are. She's got like a herd.
So I got to stop saying they're getting along like dykes and dogs. Turns out that's not a true statement.
They are. That means well.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's
no fighting then.
It's from that movie State and Maine. How you get along like dykes and dogs up here.
Oh, hell.
Oh, okay. So Stace had a good weekend. Marnie, my dear.
Yeah.
I appreciate her.
By the way, I appreciate the V-neck. It's a nice color choice, too. Oh,
thank you.
I mean, it's not my black, but still, it's good.
A little bit different. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Lovely.
I had a really great weekend, actually. Just got a few more things done at Aaron's house. Aaron, it's a long story. And,
it may involve a lawsuit before we're done. A
lot of work to be done.
Did it include a U-Haul?
No.
Oh, okay.
Long time ago.
Well, someday.
To get her from A to B, but not me from B to C. So,
wait, what did I miss? What happened at Aaron's house now?
Some more was done. But Stacy just wasn't familiar.
Wasn't sure if you went some more was done, like some more fell apart,
or
we made some progress.
That's really a good call.
Okay,
kind of. No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
I was like,
No. Got to...
What lives there now?
just Aaron and the dogs.
From the cast of Snow White.
But
what does that even mean?
We actually went
like
to
all the critters that the help critters. Snow White through the forest.
Oh, that's right.
They also help Erin to her kitchen.
Yeah, in and out. So we went to the cache actually on Sunday night, which we don't really go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up. At
that's why the E-Lounge reunion is only going to be every 4 months. Because girls just don't go out as much.
No, not just that. No,
I mean every 4 years.
I wasn't an E-Lounge person to begin with. At all.
Okay.
I never even heard of it.
Well, it was right there.
Yeah.
No, it was just more kind of the crowd. Like, because I worked at the Biz for about a minute and a half, and that was super. And so
I loved the Biz.
I know. A lot of people did. Yeah, not me.
I had a couple of good times there.
I did too.
I had some fabulous times pre 9 o'clock. It's fabulous times. But after that, there was so much. I was old when I was young. I can't handle that thumping shit. So,
lesbians are like the Russian Federation to me. I don't really know what they are.
Or why.
It's all just world geography to me. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Lesbians are like the Russian Federation.
Similar.
Oh, I don't want either one near my vagina.
So gosh. Well, of course not. Why would you?
Some feel the same.
Yeah.
So, but we went there. We went for karaoke Sunday night, and had actually quite a good time. It was Country Idol, which we were not expecting, and Gary Guerin was there. Got to see Gary for the first time in a very long time, and it was awesome to see him. And we just played and sang, and Kat Carlson was behind the bar, and you just can't go wrong with Kat. So
she's the best.
Yeah, she really is.
She really is.
So we had a ton of fun. We had a ton of fun and just kind of laughed, and Aaron finally got to let loose for first time in a very long time that I've seen her like that. So that was fantastic.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because every teacher needs to get let loose somewhere.
You know.
Not in the classroom.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but that's about it. It was good. Good week.
Well, lovely. I don't know why. For those of you who are out there listening to us and want to chat with us, for some reason the chat live button is not coming up on the screen, so I'll check into that and we'll get back to you when that is available. Sorry about that. Harrison is the one who updated me. Thank you, Harrison.
Hi,
for
Harrison.
Shooting me a text from the great city of the Los Angeles. Mr. Perkins?
Now, I find the chat room, I just start typing in QTalk and I get either QTalkAmerica.com or QTalkAmerica chat as my two choices as former sites I've been on, so I'll throw that out there.
Right, so you might be able to find it, because I know that there's a forward slash. I could give it out to you, because I have it somewhere. Actually,
or
I...
Something.
it is QTalk America. It's /chat_284729.html is the actual web link to get you right to it. Otherwise, give us some time, and we'll get it back up on the website itself.
Yeah.
Mr. Perkins.
Just a busy fucking week. This flu's killing me. Not my flu.
Not
but
you, but other people.
Goddamn world. Get your flu shot.
Got my flu shot.
Good.
Did you go get
I have not gotten to get my flu shot yet.
Get it now.
Mine. Yeah, it's so easy.
I could seriously be working 7 days a week. I'm only
from
like.
What you said, yeah.
Yeah, just, it's just constant and really, really fucking bad. And, but I did take Friday off, and Katie and I finally met Kelly, the infamous Kelly, who does exist.
The wife who we hear about.
She is not the George Glass of the Russian Federation / lesbians. So yes. My friend Jenny and those two and another friend of Katie's who was taken down with the flu mid-show and had to leave.
Oh.
Yep, she went down hard, midway through the first act, yeah. Mm. And we saw Peter and the Starcatcher at Gamage, and it was very, very good, but Gamage is way too big to attempt that kind of show.
Oh.
That needed to travel to like the Orpheum or if Phoenix Theater gets its hands on it, and I'm sure they will soon because it's now off Broadway, but go see it in a smaller venue. That venue was just way too enormous for so intimate a show.
I wasn't listening. Where was it?
Gamage. Oh, fuck you.
That's in Tempe.
What is that? There's some inside baseball joke.
I'm just not listening. Yeah. But, so I wasn't listening.
Oh, there's that.
You know.
Happens.
Because I like to play with them.
So that was fun. And then Saturday, I just... they tried to call me in all day Saturday. And I'm like, phone's going. Actually, to be honest with you, I didn't turn on my phone until like 8 o'clock at night.
Oh.
And then I turned it back off at like 8:15 because I'm like, yeah, I don't really
37
talk to
voicemails later.
Wait, is there anything before 8 p.m.?
Not in my world.
Not on my clock.
No, not. The fact that we get this show on the air at 7 challenges me sometimes. I'm not sure how that happens.
Sure challenges me.
Yeah, it does.
Busy week and nights. It seems to be nice weather as I'm sleeping. The doors and windows are open. I hear people outdoors.
It is. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful.
I've seen pictures of the sun, so I think it exists.
And I don't feel the least bit bad for those people who've chosen to live in the northeastern part of this United States.
They are getting the shit kicked out of them again. I just turned on CNN to make sure the world was still spinning, and and I think it comes.
Why does Fox usually make a notification if there's not those crazy fuckers at Fox News?
But I have to tell you that 03 into 04 was one of the worst winters going back to New York that I had ever seen, and there was things that I saw that winter that I had never seen before.
Okay.
Like, I remember sitting in Christmas time 03, looking at the concrete stump that the door, I don't know if they call it a stump.
Stoop.
So it's concrete, it's half inside, half outside, and I remember sitting in the living room with my dad and like looking over at this concrete
stoop.
That's, and I'm like, is that thing like a block of ice? Like inside a 70 degree heated house.
Oh.
This thing was solid ice frozen from the outside. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Mm. Like, how cold is it outside that motherfucker's freezing, is frozen solid inside?
Inside the house.
Yeah.
And he said that even like growing up in the upstairs with no heat since the 20s, he had never seen anything like that. And then 10 years ago was the Wicked trip where we went and saw Wicked, and me and Jason and Rob were standing outside and looked up at the Money clock in New York City and saw the -22 degrees without the wind chill.
Wow.
And we're like, you know what? We're fucking done. Mm-hmm. We're on the train. We're going back to Rob's parents' house and getting warm. Like,
good night.
No more walking around. We're going underground.
I understand. Now, Mr. Lewis, underneath the your left hand right there, there's an outlet underneath that table. You can plug that little charger in. We are fancy here at the Studio C.
We hook you up.
So it's all anecdotal, but I want to point out that there are these 10-year cycles. So in whatever the next one is, 23, 24, winter of don't travel east.
Don't go east.
I'm just telling you.
Get ready, because it's going to, yeah, I totally agree.
I'm from the east, and I never saw stuff like this. I'm from Virginia.
Well, that's, yeah, but that's that north-south, we don't know what we are shit.
It's the mid-Atlantic.
Like, yeah. I'm like, going, I don't know.
It's like, not quite the south, not quite the north.
So now, how you didn't move here from Virginia, though. You were,
yeah.
I thought you were somewhere else in between.
No.
Okay, so because you
Virginia,
moved here.
Virginia.
How long ago?
99. 15 years ago.
Okay.
Been
well,
here.
Ever since?
Oh, you've only been here since 99?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought it was.
I thought it was longer too.
I did too. Yeah,
but no, because you left a banking job, said screw it, I'm out of here. You came here, and you went to work at Amsterdam first, right? Mm-hmm. Amsterdam, then you were at Cobalt, and then Bar One, and now your own bar, Stacy's at Melrose.
So you got to Amsterdam pretty quick after it opened, right?
They opened in '98. I was there in '99.
Okay, yeah, I was
and
somewhere
it
in
was
there.
Pretty cool, but wasn't that great busy yet?
Yeah,
not until I got there. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Then
exactly.
It really started.
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't busy when it was the kind of bar that I liked, when it was just people sitting around listening to soft music on couches.
Right.
It was pretty much an old folks' home lounge.
But we liked that.
And that, yeah, and that's when I was in.
I totally understand that. Yes. Well, this weekend for me, it was a lot of work. Friday and off on Saturday, but I was at Stacy's to check in on him for a while on Saturday night. And then Sunday night show, Monday day show yesterday.
For a while.
So we got all... For a while, I was there for a while.
24 hours is a while. It's compare, it's relative.
Okay, go ahead.
I was there
exactly.
For
it's
some
relative.
Time with you, Mr. Lewis. So yeah, it's just all, it's been work and stuff, and then trying to get everything back ramped up today for some Edge clients and stuff. So it's just, it's another world. I did, however, since we were last together, last Friday day, I met with... Miss Millie, which is Miss Ebony's sister, and I acquired pretty much every CD that Miss Ebony had. So we are in the process.
Oh, wow.
I'll be documenting a lot of her music because she's got a lot of stuff that was, you know, it came off of an album that was then recorded to a cassette, then was burned to a CD. So it's stuff we don't even have any. There's no record of it, really, what it is. So I've got to try to document and figure out some of her old tracks. Some of her stuff is obviously, I mean, we know it's Gladys Knight or Aretha or whatever. But so I've got all of that. And it was very interesting to be at Maury's house because of just the ages and ages of drag. There's a lot of drag up there. A lot of drag.
Sure. Does everybody listening to us know about the video that Clayton created?
Oh, that's right. You were there last night.
And showed on Sunday afternoon, once again, Monday afternoon. It was such a tearjerker, showing so many things that a lot of us probably don't know about with Lady Ebb.
Yeah,
and it was amazing. I cried at least four times, if not more.
It's a great video. It's about 11 minutes long, but it goes by really quick, which I was proud of, because you know sometimes those in memoriams take forever, and you're like, Jesus, they died quicker than this. But
one thing that really surprised me.
And a touching note from the man who made it. Sometimes these things are a fucking drag. Yeah, it's about a dead person.
No, the thing that caught me off guard the most was that guy Andy Gibbian in there. Oh,
what?
Wait. That was you, wasn't it, Clayton?
Okay. Is this the part of the show where you're going to embarrass yourself more? The fact that you know who Andy Gibb is. Oh, so does he.
I know he's dead.
No. Another dead
still
person.
Dead. Yeah.
Now, his in memoriam was
just...
No, they were just fucking. I don't think they were...
Victoria Principal. I thought they were married.
I don't think they were married.
No.
Who?
Well, I may have to look that up.
Victoria but I know that Victoria Principal had the biggest feud with Joan Rivers, and that was always entertaining.
Oh,
because Joan Rivers
that.
Finally just hated her so much that she gave out her home phone number on the air one night.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Priceless. It's got to be available on YouTube. I haven't reached that point of my life where I wanted to sit down and watch Joan Rivers rip on Victoria Principal since I saw
what was
it the first
what
time.
What was their fight about?
I can't even remember.
We've got to find that out.
I love Victoria
But Joan
Principal.
Rivers just used to crucify her on the air. She was like her arch nemesis.
I
and it was
love
back
it.
In the days where Victoria didn't have any way to like fire back. You know what I mean? There weren't, I mean, I'm sure there were paparazzi, but there was like five of them.
Well, she didn't have a nightly talk show like Joan Rivers had.
Right, yeah.
And well, nowadays you could use obviously Twitter or Facebook or any of those.
I would do with Mary Lou Henner if I had the forum.
Well, oh, you would.
Oh, she pisses me off.
Mary Lou Henner does?
Oh, she annoys the shit out of me.
Why?
She was just on the Today Show.
Oh, she remembers everything, and I can't forget her. I mean, it's a goddamn curse.
I did not realize that.
I actually think she's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Again, I'm missing out. Why?
I mean, she's like a showboat. Like, she just always, she's that person who walks in the room and you're like,
she's the girl you don't want to start a conversation. You never started a conversation with at a party. The one from Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
That's her.
I didn't know this about her.
Yeah. You just watch her. Well, if you saw her today, I saw her on the, toned it down, but
she was, I forget what she was talking about. I was just kind of thought it was cool to see her. And then I, of course, I asked Google how old she was, because I'm always fascinated how old people are.
Probably around 60.
She's 62.
Yeah.
That's been annoying you for a long time. What?
Yeah.
You're 62, Stacey?
And I actually saw her on Broadway. She took over for Ian Reinking in Chicago. And I, because I got to see it just as Ian Reinking was limping off stage, and they brought on that one. And it turns out she was trained as a dancer. So the dancing was fine, the singing was passable, but that woman could not act. And by the end of it, Bebe Neuwirth was just looking at her like, get the fuck away from me.
Oh.
They're doing the honey rag, like all in sync and right up next to each other, and you could just see it like, learn to act, bitch.
Wow. Well, she did, apparently she did well on Taxi, I thought. I mean, that's been a while.
Yeah. Well, but that's before she could know it all.
Yeah.
Because it was so long ago.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just all her talk.
She's like showboat. Like, that. You can't, like, the person who, like, walks in the room and then all of a sudden sees somebody else walk in that's kind of a big deal and is like, oh my God. And, like, it's louder and you just want to punch
her. Yeah, and she, whatever like, it is, right she's already done it and wrote a book about it and done the exercise tape.
I've missed this, I think. Stacey, are there any celebrities out
Jane
there
Fonda
that you just can't,
on her.
You can't stand? Is there any celebrity that just, when you hear the name or you see them, like, when I see or hear Angie Dickinson, I immediately want to take a bath. I just think she's dirty.
I don't think there's any of them. I'm just not starstruck. I don't read the Enquirer.
Any of that stuff?
I don't do any of that stuff. I don't
mind just talk show appearances, but now that I've given up The View, like I don't really watch. I don't watch much chat shows anymore, as they say in London.
I liked The View, but
now it's ridiculous.
I don't watch it anymore. Oh. I just don't watch.
That'll be in my entertainment section.
Got
the,
it.
The level
well,
of,
and we know who your mom's is.
My mom's what?
Oh, Taylor Swift.
Oh, she hates Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor's no longer on our death watch.
No, we took her off.
We took her off because everyone that we were saying was going to die wasn't.
Right, so.
Yeah. So you know, we kept her off.
We lost a couple more in the past week or so.
Nobody important. And all the parts of Zaza are still kicking. Like,
yeah, well, what's
nobody
left?
Nobody important.
Whatever,
I don't
know. No, wait, Uncle Phil from the Fresh Prince. I mean,
that was like weeks ago.
Well, whatever, but he's still dead.
He's still dead.
Him, and then there was somebody else that we just lost.
The guy that created Silver Strokes. Right. Oh, the professor.
Professor.
The professor.
Mm-hmm. And,
No.
Oh,
sorry.
No, and then the guy that played Reuben Kincaid on The Partridge Family died the same day.
Same day.
Same day.
And he was in his 90s. Like, old was he on the Partridge Family?
Well,
what's the Partridge Family?
Really, Stacey?
Yeah.
You know, I have to.
God.
Oh, and David Cassidy got arrested. Did you see that?
No.
He came up on screen, and I'm like, I cannot believe I devoted a whole year of my life to following you around my bedroom.
I love it.
That has been rode hard and put away
well. But had apparently, you know, rehabbed.
Yeah.
And then had a, I don't know, it was a fluke mishap.
He was in Vegas and a show, was it called FX? What was that show called in Vegas?
Yeah.
It was
and
FX.
I think he took over for somebody. I don't think he was the original star. But my mom loved that fucking show. And she took me to see it. It wasn't bad. I was drunk.
Oh. At what age were you drunk?
It happened.
Well,
all right.
No, the show happened, and then we left.
Oh, then
it wasn't Riverdance. It wasn't that bad. I wasn't at that level of horror. Or not River. No, I never sat through Riverdance. It was Lord of the Dance.
Michael Flaherty.
Yeah, just go. You know, just go that way, and then there's a kitchen.
Look for kitchen.
That has a refrigerator in it, and the rest of your beers are in it.
Cool.
God bless. He's getting along so well with us on this little show. Very nicely done.
But my mom and I went and saw the Lord of the Dance. Because I don't know, for some reason we had all missed Riverdance, and she was like, "Well, that's playing. Do you want to go see that?" We were like 10 minutes in. I'm like, "Are you okay if I start making fun of this?" And she's like, "Something's got to make it entertaining. Start talking.
Start."
That's awesome.
All righty, Rue. Well, 7:23. I think we've just about caught up. Oh, I see him.
Marnie may have had something to say.
Well, Marnie, what did you have?
Well, I was actually just curious concerning these deaths, and then. Watching the SAG Awards and the whole In Memoriam and just seeing different faces. And mom was watching it as well. And you could tell that with mom watching it and obviously just age difference, that she's seeing these people from when she was much younger,
right.
You know, obviously, that are passing away and just where you're like the big stars of her time. And then the same idea with watching now. I mean, just seeing different things. I didn't get like kind of caught until I saw Cory Monteith.
Right, yeah.
Which was interesting because like I was watching it and it was, oh, that person and that person. And there were definitely faces that were up there and names that I went, oh, and mom, you know, I didn't know and blah, blah, blah. Edie Gourmet, she didn't realize and things like that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So just different things. But
we had a moving tribute to Edie Gourmet on here.
We certainly did, yeah. But mom just didn't hear that. So we were talking about it, and all of a sudden, again, Cory Monteith came on and I felt myself kind of catch. And I think it was because of his youth.
Yeah.
Was a lot of it. But, you know, seeing James Gandolfini and seeing just different people.
I couldn't remember because they started and ended. Because the places of honor, of course, are the start and the end. And I think the Oscars will go the same way.
It was Peter O'Toole.
Oh, no, I don't think the Oscars will do James Gandolfini because they snubbed him. And I think he'll just be somewhere in the middle. But Peter O'Toole will either be first or the last one. You know what I mean? The one that they linger on just a little bit longer.
A little bit longer, absolutely. But I just wondered if you guys were... Do you guys ever pay attention to that?
Where... Oh, that's my favorite part.
Oh, yes.
No, that's not my question. That's my favorite part as well. My curiosity was sitting there when you're watching it or when you hear these people have died, do you kind of look up and go, oh, I feel like I'm really aging? Like when you
well,
see
not as
some
bad
of
as
the,
they have, they died.
Well, well. The, yeah, but sometimes that's not age. But
Well, no, I don't so much at this point because, like, okay. Duh, your mother is older than us, just like my mother is, like Stacey would be. So I think they're getting to the point where people that they grew up watching in movies are, like, Cory Monteith is an exception because he was a young and accidental thing that happened to him. But, I mean, at some point, we're going to get to that point where all the people that were, you know, like the Reese Witherspoons in that era, when those
especially when you know someone is kind of, like, to my dad, Elizabeth Taylor was a big deal. They were similar in age. I can't remember which one of them was younger or older. But not by much. And like mine would be Julia Roberts and I just had the name and now I can't think of it. Brooke Shields.
Okay.
Because to me, they're my age. Brooke Shields turns out is a couple years older, Stockard but she was Channing. Playing a little younger. Okay. Oh, no, she's way older.
Yeah, she's quite a bit older.
Because she was in her 30s playing a teenager in Greece, and I was barely a teenager, so she's not our age at all.
She's not our age. She looks like she's in her 30s, 40s now.
Yeah.
Not now. Right.
Vaseline on the lens, maybe.
Right.
So it'll be that kind of thing. Like, if one of them passes, someone that I consider to be my age, because, you know, now you hear stories about people from your high school that are dropping dead, and you're like, what the fuck? And it's not from, like, hit by a bus or drugs. It's like, no, dropped out of a heart attack.
I'm
come
thinking
on,
Sophia Loren.
Sure. I hear that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Elizabeth
the kinda...
Taylor, Robert Burton.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Richard
Burton.
His
or
brother.
Robert.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, yes. Jerry Lewis.
Yep. Oh, you're not that old.
Well, Helen, Valerie Harper, she's still kicking around.
But that's the kind of thing, like, with Jerry Lewis or with Dean Martin, when you look, like, the...
Like childhood favorites.
Yeah. And the idea of the guy, and I don't know his actual name, my bad, from Gilligan's Island, the professor.
Russell.
Yeah, something Russell.
When I saw that,
I almost said Jack Russell, but it's not Jack Russell.
the picture that I have is the picture that they showed. It's him being on the island, and he doesn't age.
Because they do, when they show them, either in, like, if it's somebody from the trades, then they show them, like, with the gaffer mic or doing something. Right. Or if they're an actor, they show them from the, like, what's her face? The one that just died from Imitation of Life.
Oh my God, I cried. Juliana, so much
at
that movie.
Oh, it's, yeah, everyone.
Oh my God.
I can't think of what her name is, the actress from, Imitation of Life, but she just, Juanita Moore.
Okay.
Ooh, pulled that on my ass.
Nice.
But she just died, but they're not going to show her at 97 years old. They're going to show her as.
But that's, I agree completely, but that's, you know, there's not a.
Russell Johnson was his name.
Russell Johnson.
But, and I think because he didn't end up being, you know, this big time actor. I mean, Kirk Douglas, right?
Right.
You can picture Kirk Douglas very young. And now at 97,
stroked out giving his acceptance speech. Mm-hmm.
And so you see all of that, or Jack Palance, right? Like, I mean, you see these things, okay? But when all of a sudden, but the picture that you have,
at
least for me, is just them. Like I said,
in the prime of their life,
right? And so all of a sudden, I look up and I go 89,
right? Where did the time go?
Where did the time go?
Right.
And then I think, well, let's see, if carry the one. If they are shit.
Now, you're older too.
No, the other thing unless I miss my guess, I don't think the three of us were alive when Gilligan's Island was really on. I mean, I'm going to check.
I was.
Yes. I know you are, but honest to God, I don't think any of us.
I don't know.
I don't think it wasn't
because you may have. It went from September 26th of 64 to September 4th of 67.
Oh my God.
Was the actual
last date?
September 4th of 67.
Oh, so yeah, like
okay.
So clearly I never watched it in its first run either. And that's the other thing is there are shows that you think you watched when they were on but no, you weren't even in the ballpark.
That's a really good call. I didn't even think about that. Okay. Well, that's
So Tina Louise is the Tina Louise
and the girl
and
Ginger.
No, Ginger and Marianne are alive.
Right, Ginger and Marianne are both alive.
Dawn Wells, and she was arrested recently.
Oh,
but my favorite thing about
it is
the first season when they couldn't finish the song, and the rest. Mm-hmm. There's two more people. Just set them to music. And it's not till season two that somebody came up with
the Professor and Marianne.
Like it took you a whole fucking year to come up with.
Maybe it was a writer's strike. I'm not sure what was going on with them.
That always kills me when you see that first season. And they're like, I mean, you wrote a theme song to the end of it. Which, if you give me a minute, I can probably sing the theme song to the closing credits.
Oh, we'll figure that out. He'll get to it.
Entertainment,
I'm sure. Well, that was almost the entertainment section there. 7:30, it is the show on Q Talk America. I'm here with Stacey Lewis, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and I am Clayton McKee. And Marnie, are we ready?
Sure.
Well, I don't think you... That's
no,
not much
I
of
am.
It.
You think so? Different stuff, yeah.
Well, let's try it and see how this works.
Oh, and I have, just to throw this out, I have sports stuff.
Okay.
So,
God, that works out wonderful for us. Let's try this. It's headlines on this Tuesday evening right here on Q Talk America, where we talk about stories that sound like they're fake, but they're real because they happen in Florida. Drunk woman drove her own car to jail.
Oh, those crazy perverted gays.
Transgender woman dares a councilman to stone her to death.
Just what we need, more Russian babies.
Carol Channing returns to New York stage.
Homo defectus.
Suspect nabbed after cops like his post on Facebook.
MLK from the Midwest to AZ, from frats to fashion.
Oh, that and much more coming up right now on the headlines of Q Talk America. Oh my gosh. See, and Stacey, this is not rehearsed. I never know what the hell she's going to say.
Are we on radio anymore?
Oh, yeah. We're
still there.
For three hours.
I thought it was a break.
Oh, no. We don't do breaks.
You're playing Gaga or something.
No, we don't. No. Yeah. We don't pay ASCAP BMI fees for that. Right. Soon as we do.
I love what he thinks about Gaga's music that he thought that was part of the catalog. Very telling.
Her crazy headline stinger. She was. Oh, wait till we get to the entertainment.
Well, dressed as a mouse.
Yeah. Or whatever the fuck she's dressed as.
I'm sorry, the piece of cheese. Right. My bad.
There's that. Oh, my God. Well,
you're too much.
It's in Florida. A woman who later would be arrested for drunk driving did police a huge favor by driving her badly damaged vehicle with one tire missing onto the county jail property unknowingly. Braille Watkins, 33 years old, drove into a parking lot of the county jail in a silver Ford Escape that a Gainesville Police Department report said had, quote, obvious fresh crash damage. The vehicle.
And I loved it. The aptly titled Ford Escape. It's fantastic.
I like to call it the Escape.
And was her name Braille?
No, Braille.
Oh.
Right, well.
Yes. I thought maybe she just couldn't find her way.
You
got
to feel her to know.
No, the vehicle had damage on the right side, and the right rear rim had no tire attached to it, the report said. The police report did not indicate how the vehicle had been damaged or whether Watkins knew that she was even driving a damaged car or entering entering jail property when she drove into that parking lot.
I swear she was not at my
I'm
bar.
I'm sure she was. Well, it's in Florida. I don't think she made it that far.
It's good to go on record.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
I, Stacey Lewis, do solemnly declare.
Jail staff noticed the woman in the parking lot and immediately called law enforcement officials who arrived and determined that Watkins was showing signs of impairment. She also poorly performed on her field sobriety exercise.
Just watch the video of her coming on and use that as her field test.
When she was arrested, Watkins' breath sample measured 3 times, the limit at which a person is presumed drunk in Florida. Watkins was arrested and is being held in the same jail that she drove to.
I think a thank you note is in order.
Yeah. I'm jealous.
Saving the county money on transportation fees.
Exactly.
I like it. I just love that her name's Braille.
Yeah, I do.
Whatever.
Too.
But that's not my caller.
One day I'll tell everybody about my field sobriety test and got out of it. Shouldn't it be today?
Yeah.
One day. I don't have that far to go.
No. Tell the story today. We can tell the story.
I will.
No, I like it. I like it.
Got pulled. Why'd I get pulled? Because you were going too fast. And I said, no, my cruise control was set at 40 and at 35. He says, well, I clocked you a little faster. And I said, oh, inside I'm going, shit. So he tells me to get out, and he says, after a bunch of talking, he says, walk the line here for me, heel toe, heel toe. And I'm like, officer, I don't have any toes. I can't do that. I'll fall over. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And then he says, well, stand with your feet together and tilt your head back as far as you can and count from 40 to 1. And I said, I just told you I don't have any toes. I'm going to fall over and crack my head open. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. So I'm like, he's laughing. Fuck this. I'm going for it. And I took my hands and I went, what? Don't ask me to touch my nose and my fingertips because I don't have any of those either. And he sent me home alone. I didn't even get a ride.
I love that you thought that was heading towards getting laid. Oh, they started off just trying to get out of a field sobriety test. Oh, then thought it was Match.com Streetside.
That is good.
That's the city streets edition.
Back to you, Ryer.
Well, thank you, sir.
Or ma'am.
However you self-identify.
Yes.
So those crazy perverted gays.
Crazy.
Yeah. All of them.
Well, there's something delightful in my life.
Oh.
That's that we don't have to watch The Bachelor any longer.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize you were still putting up with that.
Well, I hadn't yet this season. It was only a couple episodes in, but thank you, Jesus, that he started throwing up at the mouth about the gays.
Yeah.
Juan Pablo Galvez.
And he is very attractive and feels free to take his shirt off
dumb.
At any moment.
Real dumb. Real dumb. His anti-gay comments, he went on and on about how he, look over there and that guy over there is a friend of mine, a good friend of mine.
For the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. It just goes on and on.
We've been really close for like four
really
months.
Really close. And he and his partner and et cetera, really good friends. But he said that the gays are perverted. And that
he said their sex is pervert. He didn't say perverted. He was clearly fucked up on English. Like, the guy's English is clearly shitty.
Except the problem is that pervert in Spanish is pervertido. So, I mean, it's so close that I can't fall for that one with this guy. He clearly is not a fan. But he did say something that I thought was interesting. And that was that... Where, you know, it would be too much. He felt like it would be too much to have a gay or a bisexual bachelor on ABC. And, you know, kids, he kind of went off the rails about, well, now they want to have kids and, well, okay. And he finds that confusing and he finds different things confusing.
Because who's better are they going to get into?
Who's better are they going to get into?
It was a fucked up mess of, like, English as a second language.
Yeah. Off the rails.
And then, but he was like, but I have a young daughter that I...
Son, I think.
Oh, I thought it was a daughter. Or maybe he has one of each.
Yeah,
he
might.
The fucktards on the radio station that I listen to as I'm getting ready, they were discussing this after I'd read about it, and I was all set to be offended by these two. And they're like, why are you addressing this topic? Like, you're the bachelor, and that's what they brought up, the daughter thing. And they were saying, and he was saying that there would just be, it would be too intense. The kissing...
Right.
But it would just be too much if it was two men or two women, that they're a little bit more aggressively sexual than your show, where everybody's in one hot tub macking on each other and there's like overnight stays. So they brought up the comment.
And they've all known each other for 3 weeks.
Right. And that's so you're okay with your daughter watching this show where 20 women vie for one man that they've never met before because he's on TV and then they have overnight things and they all lose their mind and have hysterical breakdowns on TV. I'm like, where is that appropriate? Like, the show's inappropriate.
Right, already.
Right. Yeah. And just the show in general.
Is just a horrible, horrible television and a bad example.
Right.
But he was just saying, like, I got the word wrong and I just meant their sex is different. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course everybody's sex is different. Like, I'm not getting in a hot tub with 20 women. That's different for me.
Sure.
So that's pervert for me.
What I understood, too, was that it's just like you said, more intense. Basically, as far as two men together would be way too intense for America to see. It would just, that's how he presented
it. Two men in a hot tub, half naked, going at each other with a glass of champagne, probably is going to get edit it out.
However,
add it to the ire.
However, to use Al's word, those fucktards in the Midwest who hate the gays but would pay good money to watch two girls go at it in a hot tub, that's fine.
Yeah. A lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense. Double-standard hypocritical bitches.
I hear you, but there's been a lot of it, and now they're trying to figure out on TV what they can do, because you have the Duck Dynasty dumbass.
Right.
Their Big Brother, we had talked about this when Big Brother was on.
Oh, but Big Brother was like racist stuff too.
Yeah,
like,
really racist. Yeah.
Right.
Have you ever watched Big Brother?
I don't watch TV.
At all. Okay.
You're smart.
So when
boring.
Again, a choice.
Right.
When we were watching, I mean, there were a couple of people on there that were just, you know, the N-word, dropping the N-word, and really putting all different races down. All different races.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were trying to figure out, you know, what's the culpability of the ABC, NBC, CBS.
Well, and ABC, of course, Disney is never going to be accused of anything anti-gay. So they came out against it. And now the Sherry Shepherd thing.
I didn't hear about it.
She was on, I can't remember of the interview show that she was on, and she was asked, what's the biggest misconception about you? And she's like, well, you know, I've been on this show that I wasn't really prepared for a while. And people think that I'm judgmental and I'm anti-gay. And she's like, I'm not anti-gay. She's like, I was just raised very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a certain thing taught to me when I was younger. She's like, but I don't hate them. She's like, I love them. If you say you're born gay, sure. If that's what you believe, then I have to believe it too, because I don't know. And she did this whole thing about getting into heaven by the skin of her teeth, and she doesn't know who she's going to see there.
Wow, I like this person.
No, but she it just came to the thing where, like, now she had to go on and apologize again because they cut down the interview,
mm-hmm.
and they made it sound like hate the sin, love the sinner kind of shit.
Sure.
And she really was just kind of going around it. But then I finished reading the article, and it was like the fourth time I've read something on it, and I'm like, this is a person who was so befuddled she couldn't remember if their earth was round. Like, you know, Phil Robertson's got his whole family dressed up as, like, and then if you see the pictures, they're really, like,
poor
yuppies.
Thing.
But they're really, like, yuppies that are doing this Duck Dynasty. And, like, not only is it scripted, but they don't really live like this.
No, they live as, they're multimillionaires, all
of
them.
No, but not that they're multimillionaires, but they don't live with, like, looking like ZZ Top. Like, there's all these pictures of them everywhere, clean-shaven and in nice clothes and on the beach in their condo. Like, they're not backwoods hippies that made good. It's not Beverly Hillbillies. The whole thing is an act.
Mm.
Like, they just grow out this beard and have been doing this. This whole thing is a sham. And then he's some drug addict that made money on duck calls. Like, we have to stop, like, getting on all these people. They're just dumb people.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. Like, understand,
I mean,
that.
Everyone that comes
jumping
out, I'm just like, you know what? We just can't keep fighting stupid people for tolerance. Like,
yeah, but they keep coming up with the next fucking ridiculous reality show.
Yeah, and but so the thing is like, the message to Ernie is to stop watching this shit when it comes on. The next family of fucktards that comes along that's related to someone
choir
by tangentially to absolutely nothing, don't watch it.
Right.
I have to
you don't
tell
need
you
to know
guys
that.
Something. Yeah. I'm sitting at my bar with a really dear friend of mine. A friend of hers calls her and says, "Can you come get me?" And she's like, "Well, you're going out on a flight." He's a flight attendant. I can't say the airport airline. He won't let me. But a guy comes on the plane wearing a shirt that says, "Rapists, alcoholics, whores, gays. Time to judge you and send you to hell where you belong." Well, the airline's policy is if it's offensive to another flight person or a flight attendant,
they
can refuse them service. So this flight attendant calls his boss to come to the airplane, and he shows his boss the guy in this T-shirt, and the guy juts out his chest to make sure the boss could see it all and did not kick the guy off the plane. This employee, I love him. I love him dearly. Walked off his job.
Oh yeah, because then you
tonight,
know
absolutely
this happened tonight.
Oh really? Just
and
now?
And then the flight
just
can't leave.
An hour
breaking
ago.
News.
Literally,
yeah. Absolutely.
And the flight can't leave.
Yeah.
Why?
Right,
because
they're down,
they a, crew.
They're down a crew member, and so they have to wait. And especially today, when like what are there 2,600 flights canceled today
because
all over?
Of the weather.
Yep.
So that makes it you walk off that job, and let me tell you, like all of a sudden, everybody on the plane wants to tear the guy apart without a
Do we love these people?
Oh
that
yeah.
Have stamina to stand up for themselves and give away, who knows, $40,000, $50,000 a year job
yeah.
as a flight attendant.
Well, I would
go, boy.
Whoever your friend is, I want to make sure he gets in touch with another friend of ours with Fox News, because that probably needs to be reported. Yeah. Going to be my guess.
I am there for that.
Yeah,
well,
that's,
all right.
That's a good call. But I mean, it's just time to, like, enough with these people. Like, they're retards. I hate to use the word. But I don't ever.
You don't hate using that word.
I know. I actually love it.
Come on.
I know it's offensive. So self-scolding. But time that one of the Kardashians comes on TV and says something anti-anything, who gives a shit? We already know they're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, we're arguing with dumb people.
Yeah,
right. That's a given.
The duck guy is just a former drug addict who made good and now makes his family dress up like ZZ Top.
Mm-hmm.
You know
it's
what I mean?
True.
You're just a fucktard.
Yep. And I agree.
You're making some money, but at what cost?
Oh, and when you watch all of this, as a female, to watch any of this Bachelor stuff is too much for me.
Yeah.
As a female to look up, because some of it's funny with, oh, look at that, because they're so fucking dumb that you just go, wow, I feel so much better.
Because I just want to ask Ernie, if they exploited dogs like that, she'd be having a cow.
That's true. That's a good, valid point.
But she's watching them just exploit women.
The
second
they have Bachelorette, the Pitbull series, she's going to lose her goddamn mind. Because then it's going to be a puppy mill, and it's going to be all that. And she'll just,
tears.
Oh, my God.
Protests. Totally.
Yes. What station is that on? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It's ABC's Great Shame.
It's called Pitbulls Pitbulls and Parolees.
Yeah. But we did see, Katie and I, where we were walking down Mill to from the restaurant to the show, there was the semi-homeless people that are always on the street and Mill.
Yep.
And one of them had a pit bull that bit a passerby.
Ooh.
Like, aggressive dog got out of his control and just bit a passerby. Like, steps in front of us. And Katie's all up in arms, because she was all pissed off about the pseudo-homeless and get a job. It was a whole thing about Gene.
That's all about Gene. Yeah, that's all about the owner training permissible. Yeah.
But it certainly didn't help stereotypes.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right. Absolutely. Ugh.
That's a lot on that story.
Fine,
there's that. Yes. Well, let's stay in. I believe this is Florida as well, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if anybody else has heard about this. Pamela Raintree and her stone that she took to a city council meeting. She is a transgender living in the community of Shreveport, Louisiana. My bad, not Florida, but close. She lives in that area, and she was going to the city council meeting where a city ordinance of non-discrimination was actually under threat of repeal. And we will go to audio about this story right now.
Now, let's move on to Shreveport, Louisiana, where a city council meeting got pretty heated, and for good reason. Pamela Raintree, who's transgender, offered a Bible quoting city councilman the first stone to stone her to death. And so she's now being celebrated by the LGBTQ community for her vocal efforts in keeping the city's non-discrimination ordinance intact. In December, the city council voted to outlaw discrimination based on gender identity or sexual preference. And 10 days later, city councilman Ron Webb introduced an ordinance to get rid of that law. So the council was set to re-vote to repeal the ordinance, but they never got the chance. Here's what Pamela said that made him change his mind.
Leviticus 20:13 states, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, they shall surely put him to death. I brought the first stone, Mr. Webb, in case that your Bible talk isn't just a smokescreen for personal prejudices.
I think that's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
She stood there and was like, fuck you. If you want to live by that Bible, then you just take the stone I give you and start killing me, because that's just, you're hiding behind a goddamn Bible passage.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, you got to go through that.
Yeah, right. So
a lot of people live by the Bible.
Yeah,
there is nothing else in their life besides the Bible. I have a few relatives that are that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they pick up, and I'm not implying your facts.
No, I understand what you're going to say.
Is the problem.
Right.
If you live by the Bible, live by the Bible. Bible.
Right.
Absolutely.
Don't pick and choose what you want.
Right.
You know, because there's stuff about cutting of hair, and there's stuff about tattoos.
And polyester, mixing of fabrics.
and
no, there literally
there
is.
There really is.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Right hand to God.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Mixing of fabrics.
What is that, Calvin Klein 314? What is that? I don't know. I didn't know.
That's a revelation.
That's one of the big sins.
mixing of fabrics?
Yeah. It's in Leviticus.
We've got to find that. I'll have
and,
to find that.
And the idea of, you know, if I, what is it, if a man sleeps, what a woman's period, there's something ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, like during the time.
It's all in there.
Do you know in the Orthodox faith, like, which what? I'm part of, a woman cannot go receive communion when she's having her period?
No.
And I'm like,
so that's a telltale sign.
She also should not work with trained
red
tigers.
Red wine, what's the correlation here?
That's a good point. So what happened to Roy?
Siegfried and Roy.
I was going to say, is that what happened?
What happened to Roy?
See, I'm sorry, Siegfried or Roy.
Either one.
Yeah.
However you self-identify.
Drag off the stage by his neck. Poor thing. No one asked if he was menstruating that day.
No.
Well, and they should have.
I know, exactly.
He didn't take communion that morning.
Important follow-up question.
Should have been a fucking telltale sign right there.
And nobody knew they were gay. Wow. In Vegas their whole life, showy outfits, work with white tigers.
There was a cab I was in once in Vegas that had, yes, people live here, yes, we have grocery stores, yes, Siegfried and Roy are probably gay. Like, it was like, here's just the questions.
Facts of life.
And the funny thing that I had heard about them, like, just before the neck incident, was the big cat story, was that they were gay, but they hadn't been a couple for years, and so they were always bitter that they didn't care that people thought they were gay. They were pissed off
that they weren't together.
People thought that they were together.
Oh,
so but I don't know if any of that's true. But that was always the story that went around, and it always made me laugh that they were just here's our real husband. Like that there was a real partner in the story. I don't know if that's true.
Look at him. Does it matter?
No.
So. Well, especially not now.
Well, not anymore.
But again, I hope when one of them dies, they show them in their prime, not in their plastics. Right. You know what I mean?
I'm good.
Yeah, because, Siegfried and Roy, Barry Manilow, I mean, all of them are like have their own wax museum now.
And Victoria Principal, she had the good sense to marry a plastic surgeon.
Don't forget. She sure did.
Soon as the kid dropped dead, she went off and married a surgeon.
Well, brilliantly so. Yes. Are you ready?
No, go ahead. I was actually just going to look up to find out when how long ago the attack was in Vegas. But go ahead.
It's like 01 or 02, I think.
Oh, is that all?
I think so.
Because I thought it was like
actually
90s.
It's 03.
Oh, yeah, see.
October 4th.
I know all.
Well, just what we need in this world, more Russian babies.
Oh.
No offense to anyone who's Russian.
Or a baby.
Of course. Well, but they don't know. That goddamn Putin. God bless Putin, right? Putting out comments about the gays and how for the Olympics that everything will be fine and the gays will be protected and everything will be good except for the fact that also we're pedophiles. And he compared the gays to pedophiles and went on and on about this and then let everyone know that he defended the Russian anti-gay law by equating the gays with pedophiles and said Russia needs to cleanse itself of homosexuality if it wants to increase its birth rate. And that last year, with this new law, they had 20,000 more births, I believe is what he said. And I went, huh? It's a damn lot. But this whole thing, everyone's going to be fine. I'm not sure how you could feel comfortable going.
Well, now they have U.S. lawmakers. U.S. lawmakers are saying it's not going to be safe.
Yeah.
They are looking for...
I haven't heard that.
They're looking for 3 bombers, one of them actually in Sochi, 2 mm-hmm. females. I can't remember what the sixth one in Sochi is.
Okay.
But they're looking for these people, and the ticket sales are at an all-time low. Like, almost... there's. So if you really want to see the Olympics, turns out tickets are still available.
Yeah.
Right, no kidding.
And lots
2 for 1, even.
Yeah. So, I mean, just... And they're going to lose... I can't remember how many... I want to say they promised the price was going to be like $500 million, and they went over like $1 trillion building all this. And
sure.
So
because they had to build a fake winter scene.
Well, they already bankrupted the nation once invading Afghanistan. Wow. So here comes the second time. What are you going to call it this time, man, when you're done and, you know, bankrupting yourselves?
Sure. One of the reporters was standing there doing a report, obviously, about in regards to this very topic. And he was standing there, and he was standing on a sidewalk, and on one side – it's the artificial snow, and then there's palm trees. And he was like, it was
one
very
of these
much.
Things is not like the
other. Yeah, right. Very much so. One of the things, and I never thought about this until I heard, I think I was listening to CNN the other morning. Okay, so they've been talking about, how many years ago was it announced that Sochi would be the destination for the Olympic Games?
It's usually like 8 to 10 years in advance.
Okay, so 8 to 10 years. So here's what they just said about this, and I'm like, never occurred to me. Okay, so you just said they're looking for a few different people right now. They just announced that there's some woman that's got like a 4-inch scar on her face. They're trying to find her, who they apparently she's infiltrated into the...
Yeah, she's in Sochi itself. Right. Okay.
Here's what I never thought about. 8 years ago, they announced that the Winter Olympics are going to be there. All these fucktards, before this barrier of protection was up, they're shipping in shit. Sure. They're stuffing safe houses all over the place. It's already there. They don't have to transport it past these guards. So when everybody gets there and everything's going, you know, the luge or whatever the hell else they're doing, boom, they can orchestrate all their shit because it's already there.
Don't say that on the radio.
CNN already said it.
Yeah, it was already there.
I know.
And I love it's the people of Caucasia. It's of the Caucasus. Is it the Caucasian Mountains? I don't know how you pronounce it. But they literally are. It's really where the word Caucasian comes from.
Oh, wow.
So, and they're the ones that did the bombing in Boston. So they're like, oh, this is killing Fox News because they have to announce that the terrorists were literally
them.
Caucasians.
They were them. Yeah.
Literally from the area of.
I'm sure it's driving them all crazy.
I wish I could laugh.
Yeah, you can't.
I know. The whole thing is just insane. It is what it is.
We've been talking about it for months. We're just sending people into harm's way.
I totally agree with that.
And China may have a horrible human rights record. And if they had terrorist attacks, at least they snuffed that out and didn't announce it to the international community.
Sure.
Plus, there's a chance of meteors. I mean, that happened too.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
But I thought that it was interesting here. Putin goes and says, you know, as far as the pedophiles, and yet we need to cleanse so that we can have the births and this and that. There's nothing. He was trying to reassure through this that gays will be fine. They'll be fine. But then he goes and makes that. I mean, it's almost like, well, I can't go all the way over there. Fine, you'll be safe. But here's this
back. But I'm going to kill you on the side.
Right. Yeah. And that's almost, it's kind of like, but we can't have you.
Yeah, we're going to put this little area of protection, but we don't really mean it.
Yeah.
But I like that the U.S. lawmakers, and I haven't really looked into which ones are saying it, like if it's just the alarmists or like Sarah Palin having something to say about Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, because she needs to chime in on that.
She wasn't even sure when the slaves were free, but she's going to have something to say about MLK.
I put her out of my mind years ago.
She's like the biggest cunt in the world.
Yeah.
So. But so these lawmakers are saying, like, don't go. They're actually telling people, like, don't do it. Like, we can't protect your safety. We can't guarantee we'll get you back. Like, but Pussy Riot's out. Have we talked about that?
Wait.
Do you know how much I would just adore my life, your life, and everybody's life if some countries would back out over the gay thing in Russia for the Olympics?
The only thing it hurts is the athletes. Like we've talked about that too,
right?
Like the only people that suffer is the athletes.
Come on, the athletes are maybe killed while they're
there, but they don't care
because they're gay and they have friends that are gay.
But it's all about the 4 years and they train for
and they've been working at
because we boycotted the last time they were in Russia and it
I
did
know.
Not the only thing it did was and we did it over invaded Afghanistan, which is the best part, and then we fucking did it. So fast forward 21 years later and we invaded Afghanistan.
Sure.
So it has no real effect except for to harm the athletes and keep them away, especially this Jason Brown, who I'm so fond of. So hopefully he's straight, or we'll be straight for those 2 weeks.
We'll see.
Come out after, honey.
Marnie, you had some more on that?
Yeah. God knows there's way more.
We have weeks to cover the Olympics.
Well, once we wrap up this hour, we'll go back to Florida. A gentleman by the name of Robert Marucci, who is a senior at Cocoa High School. Well, he broke what?
Did you go there?
I lived there.
Oh, well, then you won't know this kid. The gentleman broke into the porn industry to help support his family. He was then suspended last Wednesday for unspecified, conduct violations, according to the school board. The Brevard County School Board told the Daily News that he will return to classes on this coming Wednesday. His family claimed that he was bullied after word of his X-rated extracurricular activities circulated. Well, here's what happened. He 18 years old, he got involved with a website that's oddly based out of Florida. And did some porn, which he's completely legal to do. The other thing that the story talks about was the fact that he got a job outside of school. No other person has ever been suspended for their work outside of school. So they were claiming he was a huge distraction to the classes because all of the students on their phones had found him online and were passing around all of his videos or pictures or whatever
when
the hell they were doing.
Clearly it says if you're offended by the site, please
do not
enter.
Right. So
it has a clear warning.
In solidarity with the student, the entire school, well, not entire, most of the school actually did a standout where they literally walked out. They all walked out of the school and refused to go back until the school board permitted him to come back in because, again, Nothing that he did was illegal, and he only was doing it to help his mother, and they all just stood in solidarity with him. Like, he's a great guy. He's a nice kid. He's doing this, so fucking what?
Nice.
Don't tell me everybody else is, you know, there's drug dealers and everything else going on in this school, but nobody's getting suspended for that shit.
And clearly it said you have to be 18 to go on the site. There, I mean, I could do it from memory, because I've seen a couple of them.
What's he look like?
And if you're offended, no, I mean.
Oh, kidding.
It probably was straight porn, I'm assuming.
No, SeanCody.com.
Oh, that's what he was on?
Oh, my
yes. God. Oh, I thought Sean Cody was out of California.
No, they're out of Florida. I personally know a couple of people who've gone there for vacations, and they've done video shoots.
Oh, because I saw something from Sean Cody at one of the local restaurants. He was on the patio of Postino.
Oh, they're all over the place.
Well, of
but,
course
no,
they
they're
are.
Based out of there.
They do travel.
Yeah, so anyway, I thought that was an interesting story that they wanted to maraud this kid for doing something that was, quote, disrupting classes when all the other students were on the websites, too, looking at the
so
same shit.
So what do they do? Right. They disrupt classes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, fuckers.
Who doesn't disrupt classes, for the love of God? These kids. Somewhere along the way.
Crazy kids.
It's the end of hour one. We have two more fun-filled hours coming at you right here from Studio C. We are live in studio with, we got Stacey Lewis, Marnie Ryer. Stacey's so confused right now with what's going on.
So confused.
That's Al Perkins. I'm Clayton McKee. We are coming back in just a mere second with more right here on Q Talk America.
But I'm having a great time.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening once again, 8 o'clock, coming to you live from Studio C in the heart of central Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining us. I am Clayton McKee alongside Stacey Lewis, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins as we round out tonight's in-studio cast. Katie June is off tonight doing some things for the HRC. But we are here, so that's all that matters. We'd like to say hello to the four people watching us live on video and the people in Kuwait, the United States, and the Russian Federation listening to us on our audio-only stream. If you care to join us in the chat room, hopefully that'll come up shortly, and you'll be able to do that. For some reason, the button is not showing up on our website. I'm not sure why, but we are live right now on the air. And right now in the middle...
That is weird.
It is weird. I don't know why it's doing that. We are in the middle of our headline section, but before we do any more with headlines, we must do our lovely... Oh, I've got to do something. I hate when I have too many mouses in my hands here. That sounds dirty, but it's not. Sorry. We have to do our drinking disclaimer, and it goes something like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
All right. Today's word, because like I said, I've just been working, and I don't want the word of the day to be flu. So
yes.
We're going to go with coup, or coup d'etat if you want to really be fancy, but I love the word coup.
So now, Stacey, the way this works is for the next 2 hours, it's our drinking game. So he selects the word every week. So coup or coup d'etat, if you want to get fancy with it, if you figure out some way to work it in or allege somebody's pulling a coup or attempting a coup, we drink every time you say it.
And if you think coup d'etat means raw vegetables, I want you to drink right now.
Stacey Swigs.
Is that like tater tot?
Yeah, very same idea.
Oh, French fries.
Really,
I like it.
There honestly is no difference.
There's not really much of a difference at all.
And the first time I ever saw crudité on a menu, I'm like, crudite? You really got to change. What is that going to be, and why haven't you changed that name?
I want to know, where were you eating where they had that on the menu?
A lot of places have it at crudité. They have it as the like a little mousse bouche or whatever you want to call it.
Oh.
But it was just so funny because I'd heard it said 1,000 times, but I had never seen it spelled out.
Oh, see, spelled out right.
Sweet it's tomatoes. Like,
yeah. Well, there it's a whole buffet line.
Yes, a crude line.
Yeah, crude line. But I was like, crudite? What the fuck?
What the fuck's that? Nobody gives a shit. Got it. Marnie, let's continue on with our headlines, my dear.
Well, the Catholic Church likes Latin. Homo defectus, we'll call it.
That's a coup.
That is a coup. I like it. Well, it just seemed appropriate to aptly title it Homo defectus because the newly chosen Spanish cardinal.
Hi, Laura.
84-year-old Fernando Sebastian Aguiar.
It's European.
Do you hear the drums, Fernando?
He's described homosexuality as a defect.
Oh.
And it can be corrected.
If you do it wrong, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
That's homo defectus.
It leads to a Santorum.
Homo lack of erectus.
A coup all over your ass.
At that point. Yeah. I'm assuming. I don't know. So.
Oh, the vulgarity.
That can be corrected with treatment, according to this old coot. But it sparks condemnation.
Oh, condoms and ointment.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the gay rights groups, of course. A lot of people complain and don't tolerate it, but with all respect, Fernando says that homosexuality is a defective way of manifesting sexuality because it has a structure and a purpose, which is procreation.
Usually when I do it, it's got a purpose.
Yeah. Yes.
Structure, we're not sure.
Maybe not.
Kind of play it by ear.
Well.
I've met a guy in structure once. That's a store at the mall years ago.
Well, there you go.
Well done.
It was a coup.
It was a coup. Coup d'etat of the mall. I planted my flag in Scottsdale Fashion Square.
And there was a hot dog on a stick.
Look at the good you're doing.
Oh.
Johnny Rockets.
Well,
I don't
Fernando
think I'm
going
to ever get a word in it.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
Just give up now.
Just keep jumping. Yeah. Whatever. That's all you have to do.
Enjoy your beverage.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Sit back and enjoy.
Sounds
your
like
beer.
A pigeon.
Yeah. Cool. So, according to Fernando, he points out that it's not just, you know, the queers that have a defect. We have a lot of defects in our bodies. He says, I have high blood pressure. High blood pressure and gay. And am I going to get angry because they tell me that? It is a defect I have that I have to correct as far as I can. So, apparently, we can take a pill. High blood pressure, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. It's in our diet, right, apparently. Pointing out a defect to a homosexual is not an offense. It is a help because many cases of homosexuality can be recovered and normalized with adequate treatment. It's not an offense. It is esteem. When someone has a defect, the good friend is the one who tells him, according to the new cardinal. And I thought with
wow, Francis is going to be up his ass in about 5 minutes.
That's exactly what
Shut
I thought.
Shut the fuck up, or however you say that in Argentinian.
Well, homo defectus fuckus.
Yeah.
Office.
Because he defrocked priests. Did you hear? This has stayed kind of low on the radar, at least.
I know, I've heard it too. Like,
that he defrocked 400
priests.
Yeah, for diddling. For their defectus.
Oh, yeah. No, he had the
Homo erectus.
Yeah.
So, what about all the Catholic priests that have crossed the line with children?
That's what he said.
That's what he's saying. Yep.
Why can't we?
No, he just defrocked 400 of them.
Cool.
Like, he booted them. This is the first time they've done something about it.
But it started with the Pope prior to this one. Isn't that what it said?
Well, the Pope prior to this one is the one he was part of the shuffling program.
Right, but I thought, did it start with him or did it start after the new guy?
I don't think.
New guy.
The new guy. Yeah.
Then he's been busy.
I'm thinking about becoming Catholic because let me tell you, Francis has got it going on.
They got good gowns.
But I am intrigued and it doesn't.
They like Sinatra. Just throwing it out there.
The Archbishop was asked in the interview if he shared the view of Pope Francis, which obviously he does not, who said in July last year, if someone is gay and seeks the Lord with goodwill, who am I to judge?
Mm-hmm.
And that's from the Pope.
Kind of what Sherry Shepherd said.
Similar, but different.
I adore that statement.
But, yeah. It, you know, truly, I really wondered, because he just chose this Spanish cardinal. Pope Francis just chose him very, very, very recently to be a cardinal. And I thought, I mean, I get that we have differing views, but that's...
Well, he'll get the memo soon.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Now, Francis is old, though. He's in his 70s, right?
The new one?
Yeah.
He's pretty progressive to me.
No, but I'm just saying, like, long shall he reign, but I'm not sure.
We may get him at 30 years out of
him. He's living on peasant food, so it might be a high blood pressure issue there, too.
You never know. So, anyway.
He's living on beans and rice, people.
Very interesting. We're defected. All right.
Me too. That's happened all the time. I mean, we've heard that from so many people trying to put some sort of a cast on us or have a coup to figure out, you know, that's why we should all be put on an island so that we can all die or some bullshit.
Well, and that there's a treatment.
Manhattan. Right. They've named the island.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, it's helpful.
But it's
Fire
Island. P-Town.
Yeah, but the idea that there's this treatment out there and they talk about it, whether it's this douchebag, Cardinal Douchebag, sorry.
Yeah.
Or the Boy Scouts.
Right.
Or, I mean, you can keep going, and there are all these different kinds of things where they're defective and
another
it's bad.
Another YouTube suggestion, and I want to say that Tim and I watched it in, like, 1979. It could have been 78, but somewhere in the 78, 79, 80, HBO did. I don't think it was a one-off, because we know too many lines from it that it had to be...
A series?
But it had to have been played over and over again, and it was called Disco Beaver from Outer Space. And it was hysterical.
That's a coup.
I think he's making this up.
What I've learned from talking to the one or two other people on Earth,
it's real.
Is it on YouTube?
No, I just Googled it.
Okay, Disco Beaver from Outer Space.
78.
It's people. Oh, so 78. So I was 11 years old watching this, and this was like I had an inkling that I might have been like wanting to take the route. But not sure. But in this thing, they change the channels, and they're watching, this couple is watching a channel, and the Disco Beaver's on one channel, and eventually the Disco Beaver gets on every channel, and the hockey players start humping, and there's the commercial for New Homo Nomo. Do you wear your watch like this? Do you carry your books like this? You take New Homo Nomo. And Tim and I have been laughing. Tim and I have been laughing about New Homo Nomo. And it's a Southern lady, and it was so funny. And
oh, we'll be finding this.
Always, yeah. Like, my first introduction to gay reparative therapy was Homo Nomo. And so I just thought, it's got to be a joke, because they were making fun of it when I wasn't even in junior high yet.
Lynn
I watched this
Redgrave
in grade
was in it.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Well, and you were talking about this when the whole Marcus Bachman thing.
Yeah,
when
and I told you, I went to HBO headquarters in Times Square and yelled at them.
I remember you told me this.
I need a copy of Disco Beaver from Outer Space. And of course, you know, the skinny jeans fucker that was working the counter was like, oh, sweetheart, I only know who Lady Gaga is. Like, you know, if it happened last week, I'm unaware.
Right.
Or
30 years ago.
Sure.
So, I mean, but if somewhere on YouTube you can find Disco Beaver
it
from
looks
Outer
like it
Space.
Is. It, according to what it says here, Disco Beaver from Outer Space is an early production by National Lampoon made for TV in 1978. A short film is a collection of comedy sketches contained within the main story, which is centered on, and it continues on, but that's Wikipedia. It's only 51 minutes,
according
to this.
I told you, it was an HBO special.
Short. Cool.
Short.
Yeah.
Short.
So, I mean, again, you just do not go your life without HBO. You need it. Things like this have
still
been
trying
happening
to celebrate
since
on
1978.
I have a question. Now, going in line with the story that you just read, the defective thing and so on and so forth. Now, and I've not heard this from you, if you've ever told me, and I don't remember, because I drink sometimes at your bar. Now,
at a lot of bars.
We've all, in the many, many weeks that we've been doing this show, we've all told different stories about our coming out and our experiences in our life and so forth. And I was just curious, because sitting at this table right now, you are the senior member of this cast right now.
I'm so glad to have someone older here.
So being that, my question is, it's a half a flip for you. So for you...
I got 86 weeks to be the oldest one here.
I know,
fuck you.
I know you have a daughter, and I met your ex-wife. I know all of that. So, but tell us, if you would, can you share your story with us? Or do you care to?
All right.
It's only an hour and a half left. So
okay, I'm gonna go quick.
Don't channel Al on this one.
In 95, when I had been with my lover for 5 years, my ex-wife said, why did you want a divorce last year? Everything was going so perfect. And I said, oh my God, do I really have to tell you? And she says, well, yeah, you said that. You got to know. So I said, well, Jimmy, who had been out to dinner with her and my daughter and myself many, many times, is not my roommate. He's my lover. And she sits back on the sofa. We had just gone out to dinner, her and I, and she sits back in on the sofa and thinks for 45 seconds. I'm like, she's going to get a gun and shoot me. And she sits up and says, oh, my gosh, what a relief. All those nights you didn't come home, you were with a guy and not a woman. I'm like, yeah, is that okay? And she goes, well, yeah, I can't compete with a guy. So that
I love a good rationalization.
Yeah. She said that, and all I could think was, this is the ball that's going to get everything rolling. I'm not going to hide this anymore. I told my daughter a year later. I told my everybody. Can I tell you a real quick story about my mom?
Too late.
Okay, next.
Yes.
I told my mom. My mom was the last important. Stop that. Was the last important person in my life to tell, and I told her, and she's like, "Okay, whatever. I knew it." She didn't. And so she didn't talk to me for the rest of the day. We woke up. I was out in San Diego at her home. And the next morning we wake up and she makes me breakfast, still not talking to me. And we had this plan to go to Home Depot and get some supplies so I could repair some things in her home.
So she was prepared for you to be a lesbian.
Right, I was going
to
say. And then she came out as a lesbian.
You're going to love the rest of the story then. So we go to Home Depot. We get our shopping list of things. We're just sort of meandering through the aisles, not talking. And we get to the lighting fixtures department and she goes, oh, my God, I love that chandelier. Will you help me pick out a new chandelier for my home?
Was your mom Bea Arthur? Because all of a sudden her voice got lower.
Yeah. And the secret is out.
So I let go of the shopping center. I put my hands on my hips and I look at her and I say, oh, sure, now that you know I'm queer, you want me to redecorate your home. So she, 2 seconds later, spreads her arms out and says, oh, my God, I don't care who you are. I love you. You're my son. And she hugged me, and it was never, ever, ever an event again. She told all of her sisters, all of her brothers, all her relatives that her son was gay. She was sort of proud of it.
Oh, that's good, sort of. Now
it was a really good story.
Now, how old were you when this all happened, went down?
Early 50s.
Oh, okay.
So you're a young gay, if you will.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So now how long ago was the ex-wife story then?
Same time. A year later, I came out to everybody.
So did you move out here as part of the coming out process, like a new...
A new life,
I'm
a new you?
I'm just doing the math.
No, I moved out here for health reasons. The cold of Virginia was taking my digits.
Right.
And I moved out here in 99 and I've not had a problem since.
So all the same fingers you've got here with.
And so I have no
Again, I'm just trying to do the math.
Seven fingers.
Don't count on your fingers.
I can do fractions.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, I can see a half and a third from here, so I figure you're good at it.
See your decimal. Jeez.
I've had an amazing...
I don't know you well enough to be this drunk, but oh, hi.
Sure you do. I've had an amazing coming out story.
Yeah.
I could not be prouder of it. And when I hear about these stories, a guy came in today to apply for a job, and he told me about his coming out. He's 34, was married like I was, and he came out to his mom one day while he was coloring her hair.
Tell you.
Was his mom
now? There's a coup. There's a coup d'etat.
Was his mom blind?
I'm gonna fuck
deaf?
Up your color if you don't enjoy this news.
Then a few days later, he came out to his dad, and his dad
was he coloring his hair too?
Apple dad, tree
for men.
His dad doesn't have hair.
Just crayons then.
Spray
and going back to what Aaron said. The dad said, you've got to fix this. You've got to get fixed.
Oh, come on.
So, you know, that's how he's living his life. Happy mom, dad, who says, go to a doctor and get fixed.
Sure. I got to tell you, as you know, 10 years.
And he was a hottie, too. They almost tired him.
10 years drinking in a gay bar, followed by 10 years working at same gay bar. I did feel like an honorary therapist to the coming out people. I've heard
every story.
So many stories and counseled so many people and then got them drunk while they told it. Like, but it's just one of those things that you do
I
as a
think
service.
That was a coup.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
Well, one of the good things that you get to do in that business is you get to be a little bit of a beacon. You get to be a little bit of a light of, like, not only does it get better, but it can be better right here.
Right.
Like, you don't even have to go far
and
to find it.
And there's a trust that people form.
Yeah.
And there was one gentleman who
You're
came
in
out,
the Emerald City, kids.
That's right.
We can turn this place green and put a song on.
We can make this happen. Click
you know
your fucking heels.
Follow
so fine.
The yellow brick road.
Somebody's going to bring a little dog and a scarecrow in here in about 5 minutes.
We had
set your watch.
There was one guy who just wanted to tell his mom, and he needed to come out to his mom, and we had talked about it for months and months. And finally he said, will you reserve these two chairs up at the bar? It was at Tinseltown. Will you reserve these two chairs? It's for a Friday night. Do you mind? I'm like, nope. And it was right in front of me at the Well. And he said, this is where I'm going to feel the most safe.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what are we doing? And he said, I'm going to come out to her here.
Okey-dokey. Wow.
So we walked in and it was, you know, it was packed and he felt comfortable there because there were kind of all walks of life and everybody, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And he sat down and he told her and they just sat there and cried and it really was a beautiful thing. I mean, just watching
wonderful.
That and the, you're exactly right. What we can provide kind of as a sanctuary for them.
Yeah.
And that safety. He came around the corner and just, you know, he's like, I need to hug you. And his mom, of course, you know, I need to hug you. Thank you for being there for him and for helping him.
Yeah. And yeah.
He just needed to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's all.
One of the nice things that
I'm sorry. I just remembered what I was going to say real quick.
Go.
It helps with parents. And I honestly don't know if it would help a parent that's not of the Jewish faith. But it's called Consenting Adult. It's by Laura Z. Dobson. It's an excellent book. From I think it was written in the 1980s. Marlo Thomas starred in the TV movie. It is an excellent book. Yeah, it's an excellent book
for movie.
Helping a parent deal with the timeline of coming out and how far behind the story they are, because the child's been working on it for years and mom's on day one. An excellent
a TV
book.
Movie.
They made a TV movie in 80 or 81. Marlo Thomas played the mom. I don't remember any other cast member, but it was called Consenting Adult.
Yep.
Excellent, excellent book for the story of, and even if you're reading it and your mom's having problems, maybe read it and get a little insight into her timeline of, you know, she's on day one, you're on day
however long
700.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead.
One of the things that I wonderfully got to experience along with Stacey when he did the grand opening of his bar, his daughter, your ex was there. I forget who, a lot of your family members came to your own bar. Obviously, they knew you'd worked in bars for years, but this was the first time it was yours. It was Stacey's bar. And I thought it was so wonderful that they're just there to celebrate him opening a bar. Nobody cared, gay, straight, whatever, and embraced all of your friends, as did they embrace them. It was a wonderful time to be there with them.
And they loved all of my friends.
And
what
a
great time.
And what a smart neighborhood choice you made.
Yeah,
it's my neighborhood. Because you're in my neighborhood.
Because you're close.
And Consenting Adults was 1985. Marlo Thomas, Martin Sheen.
Oh, Martin Sheen is the father. And they played down, because it's TV movies in the 80s, they played down the Jew aspect. But the book, it's all about assimilation. It's about assimilation, which is one of my favorite topics for late night drunken conversations. Maybe we'll bring it up in Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And our late night drunken conversation.
Yeah. Nice.
Coming up in hour three.
Harrison and I have spent many time with coffee, bagels, and booze talking about assimilation. Sorry.
And probably
my three favorite things: coffee, bagels, and booze. Harrison's fourth, but she knows.
And probably a coup attempt of some sort.
You are lying to me.
Freeland, Pennsylvania. Let's go over to the
Slaveland is right next door
to the East Coast. Yeah, Slaveland, Freeland.
They had a coup,
which is funny that's the name of the city. Police in this northern Pennsylvania town really liked a Facebook post on Facebook. Officers in Freeland arrested 35-year-old Anthony Leskowich on Monday night, less than 2 hours after he shared a photo of himself and taunting police for not being able to find him. So he shared a wanted bulletin, and then minutes after, or just minutes after the Freeland police had posted it on their own Facebook page, well, he was being sought on assault-related charges. Well, he then, like I said, reposted it, and then another police officer, posing as an attractive woman, liked the post as well and engaged him in conversation. Initially, he refused to have a drink with the woman, but later agreed to meet up for a drink and a cigarette later. He was arrested at the location when he met up with her. So after the arrest, the police posted on their Facebook page, captured, and shares our status on Facebook about himself, captured 45 minutes later. he remained in the Luzerne County Jail as of Tuesday. Court records do not list a defense attorney for him at this time, but show that he faces a preliminary hearing on January 29th on charges including aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, and disorderly conduct stemming from an incident way back in July. So careful who likes your stuff on Facebook.
Oh, definitely.
But I love the fact that the cops are using social media for these fucktards. I'm enjoying your word a lot.
It is. It's a lovely way to avoid it, to keep politically correct and be offensive.
For people who post stupid
shit. Fine line there, Ernie.
Stupid shit that they do on Facebook.
Moira. What's her name?
Aaron and I are sitting here staring at each other over this word.
That's right. See, I am her.
I do like it. Fucktard.
Aaron's not here.
Who?
That's Marnie. Oh. Aaron's her girlfriend.
Call her Moira. That's what I decided her name is today.
Aaron or Ernie.
I think I just slobbered in my.
Sorry. Yeah, it's okay. Since she hasn't assimilated, Marnie. She's still Moira.
Yeah.
She'll be Rachel next.
But I do enjoy the people who post on Facebook doing stupid shit. And just a case of point, just happened yesterday, right here in town. Did you all heard of the frat house out at ASU? You're going to do that story? Mm-hmm. Well, Marnie, take it away right now.
Well, the MLK and celebrating Martin Luther King Day. Celebrating, I use in loose terms. And that's where I had said, from the Midwest to AZ, frats to fashion. Because in Minnesota, in Duluth, Minnesota, there was a place called the Global Village who had a 25% off anything black in their store.
It's the fourth year they've done the sale, though.
Yes, okay, it is. It's the fourth year that they've done it, an annual MLK Day black sale.
Which is kind of funny if you think of like the white sale does. There's a joke there. Honest to God satirical joke there.
And the other interesting piece is...
I can't be offended by that.
No. The other interesting piece is that, yes, they've been doing it. They sell clothes and jewelry, scarves, incense, tapestries, lamps, blah, 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 blah.
Afro-Sheen.
Maybe. Jerry Curl.
Maybe.
You don't know.
Nobody does.
It's a great mystery.
It's a mystery.
In the store... They had the MLK Day sale, 25% off everything black. Yeah. And they had that in the window.
I mean, think of the money he'd save.
Oh, people. Yes.
Not sure if I am offended.
Incredibly
offensive. No, you wear all black shirts, your whole wardrobe.
Incredibly offensive and tasteless. Shame on you, Global Village Duluth. And they, the idea of really what is happening, why would you be doing this, and the fight for equality, you suggest a sale on every item of every color, shape, and size and make them all an equal price is what someone offered as a,
But, I mean, you can kind of get it with the white sale every holiday. Like
every 4th of July white sale.
White sale. Like, it just sounds wrong. So to make it a black sale is just kind of...
Well, and However, I put lights up all the time.
Cinco de Mayo, everything brown will be on sale.
Well, there you have it.
Conveniently.
Again, I like it. Kind of funny.
Yeah, kind of funny.
Like,
play along. It's
Look how we dressed for Cinco de Mayo.
Marnie, can I get the address? I want to Google that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
but kind of in the spirit.
And the thing is that this person who owns Global Village says, "I adore this man. That was the spirit behind the MLK Day sale. To those whose feelings I've hurt, I contritely ask your forgiveness. That was most definitely not what I meant to do. This was not inspired, as some have suggested, by the history of blacks being sold into slavery. That's where people went.
Oh, now we're reaching. Yeah.
Yes.
That's where people went. Nor by the idea that black people are inherently of lesser value than people of other colors.
Because white people are being put on sale every other holiday.
So, go to Macy's.
About time you got a black person cheaper.
It was inspired by the fact.
Because the whites are on sale. I know. That sounded really wrong.
Out of context,
I'm going to hell on that one.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, thank God we don't have a high listenership.
This was inspired by, we might, by the fact that Dr. Martin Luther King was black.
Really?
No.
No, no, no. That, this is what the person is saying, that it was inspired by the fact that he was black. Some may find it culturally insensitive to state this, but it's a fact he was proud of. I'm leaving the sale post up not to cause further insult, but so that you can take a deep breath and honestly evaluate whether it was created out of mockery or celebration.
Yeah.
You're looking for ugliness where there isn't any.
Right. And probably when they play that content, hopefully we go viral over that one, and then I can be called a racist for the rest of my life.
Well, too late.
And then I got to line up. I got to line up all the
tardy issues.
Yeah, we got to line up all the boyfriends and see what colors, you know, where on the spectrum we fall.
But go ahead. Sorry.
No,
I have a question. Were they selling Bibles? Aren't they all black? Were they selling those?
No, not all of them. No, there's a lot of white. There are a lot of white leather.
Well, most of them I've seen.
Leather, right.
Yeah. In those cheap hotels I stay at.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
that's because you're a whore.
Yeah. I don't
charge. Yeah, exactly. You take over one, two
that
hotels.
That was a coup.
Yeah.
No.
I knew it wouldn't take you long to figure out the bell.
An old joke, and it was just something we found. It really just came together on a day of the month. And everyone knows I really like champagne. Like, I enjoy drinking champagne. Try to find excuses to drink it.
Right.
Had a New Year's Eve party, and I want to say I still lived in New York, but probably not, because I don't think I was that into champagne at 17. But it was probably after I lived out here, and someone had found, and it's called Cordon Negro.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love it.
It's French. Yeah. It's a French champagne. It's decent. It's not very expensive, and it's very drinkable. And it was left over in the first holiday after.
Was MLK.
It was MLK. So my friend brought it over, and we got a great laugh out of drinking Cordon Negro on Martin Luther King Day, because we were off, and it was champagne, and how funny, and we made it a tradition. So we tried to drink it. I worked yesterday, but last year for the inauguration, I had Cordon Negro, because it became the champagne of Martin Luther King Day.
Yes.
Oh. Right. Yeah. And of course, you could look at it as racist, or look at it as just something funny that just happened in the way the calendar went. And we were like, oh, look, it's a black sale. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
I find humor in it.
Right. But then and I could see where someone would be offended, but I hope you wouldn't. I would hope you would take it in the spirit of.
Let me tell you, when somebody comes up to me, or in the past, when people would come up to me and order a glass of wine, and they would say white Zinfandel, I was offended. Not.
I'm offended by the choice. Not by
seriously. Why would someone
Come
order that?
On.
Right.
So are we going to get upset by Red Merlot? Are
Redskin? It's not called Redskin.
As soon as they have a Native American holiday, we will.
Only that's Thanksgiving, isn't it?
We celebrate the coup, the slaughter.
The stealing of the land.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it.
The ASU, but on the other side of this then, and I was trying, because when I found that, I thought, whoa, ASU fraternity celebrates MLK Day with a party mocking black people.
Yeah.
And that was, they have different pictures posted where they're drinking. They dressed up in basketball jerseys and bandanas, throwing up gang signs and drinking out of a watermelon cup as a part of an MLK party.
Now we're back to the spirit of the event.
Yeah, but just ignorant fucking rich white people
now,
that are annoying.
Here's the difference between the spirit of just making light of something and finding a connection, and the thing of, like, now we're just going to play on some racial stereotypes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the spirit of the event makes a big difference in how you do the coup d'etat.
Oh, very much. Very much.
Look at me rationalizing. Really
You are rationalizing, but it really depends on the circumstance. You can say that. Maybe Clayton couldn't say it. Maybe I can't say it.
Right.
You could get away with
it. People just know me as offensive. So people are just going to be like, oh, it's Al. Just get over it.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Like, it's really true.
Well,
there were probably people sitting there drinking the Cordon Negro thinking, oh my God, please don't let me have a videotape, because this might be offensive. Sure. There are some people that don't know how to take me. Like, that are like, oh no, he's so dead serious. This might be something that we should.
And then
the people that really know me are like, he hasn't taken anything seriously since like 1902.
The only thing Al really thinks is serious is you've got to have HBO.
And the Oscars.
Oscars, yeah, okay. Right.
So there's two things.
Now, one of the things that I heard on the news today in regards to this ASU incident was they're talking about how the charges are going to be filed and all this kind of stuff. And they said it was, and I forget the word that they used, but they said that because of the fact, and I thought this was kind of interesting, they said that with all of the stereotypical elements that they placed in this, that meant that somebody had to deliberately do research to know what to place in it. And I'm like, what? Did you have to do research? How do you not know that these are terrible, you know, stereotypical things? Like, you would say that.
Did you watch Boys in the Hood?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
But I mean, like, if how is that research?
You don't have to research it. You don't have to Google what is stereotypical things black people do.
Right. No. Watch TMZ.
Like, if it wasn't for comedians,
correct,
I would know nothing about Asian drivers. Like, I have no idea if that's true. I have never...
Forgot to factor in the Asian.
But if it wasn't for, like, comedians, I have no experience with any...
Sure. I'm going to tell a story.
As far as I know, a white guy is the worst driver possible because it's me and I'm the worst driver in the world. Like,
Stacey, at one time, were you an Asian driver?
Yeah. No, I was, but I'm worse than Al at driving.
Yeah. I mean,
thank God they're not hand controls in your car.
I have to tell you a story.
Finger on the trigger, not here. Parenthetically, not with her.
He does not have his finger on the pulse.
No. Well, one of them. One of them he might.
Well, maybe.
Whitney Houston's still dead with him at the helm.
I worked for a gay bar in Phoenix, in Richmond, Virginia for a year before I moved out here. And, you know, Richmond, Virginia is 50, 52, 55% black people.
Okay.
And half of the people that came into the gay bar that I was a waiter at were black. Well, you know me. I love everybody. And they... started coming in, and they sort of liked me, and they would ask for me. And, you know, I'd hear them come in and say to each other, "Hey, what's up, nigga?" And so I got to the point where I was so comfortable with them, and they loved me so much. When the door opened and they came in, I would say, "What's up, nigga?" And they loved me.
Yeah.
They would come over and hug me. It's how you present it.
It's the spirit of it.
It really is. Come on, guys.
But you're not going to walk out onto Central Avenue and say that to somebody at the bus stop. Like, well,
I did it out my front door the other day. I really did. Four people were walking by, I'm out on the patio, and I hear somebody scream out, "Hey, what's up, nigga?"
So we might go viral.
I did.
I'm going back
I
to
opened the... up the gate, and I looked out. And there's three black people.
What time is it?
And one.
Where are Sherry Shepherd's PR people?
And I feel so comfortable telling this. And one white person.
Clearly you do.
And I screamed out, "Who said, what's up, nigga?" And I went, "What's up, nigga?"
1843.
They came over. They hugged me. They were perfectly okay with it.
Yeah, I guess it always is the spirit of what you're doing.
I did not say it maliciously.
See, now this is the difference.
I can handle it.
Al goes up to folks with developmental disabilities and says something like that, and it's not taken as well. It's not taken as well.
And I would never.
Exactly.
Yeah. Really?
That's my whole point. Yeah. Like, sometimes we don't, I mean, and you know.
There's no way from the bald New York guy to ever utter what he just said and have it come out as anything but horrible.
Okay, yeah. No, I understand that.
Not going to be okay.
My tone of voice, my everything, because I make good morning sound like fuck you, and I'm not sure how. So you can imagine how that phrase is going
to go
up.
I got things to say sometimes.
It'd be over like a
I stop because I don't know to say... Are they Asians? Are they Japanese? Are they Chinese? Sometimes you just don't know.
Well, you have to get close enough.
Yeah. I feel that way.
Oh, excuse me.
It's like what sex. You just get them in the shower and wet their hair and then...
I would like to go, for the record.
Let's go to entertainment.
We're gonna
I think
get
we've
there.
Done all the damage we can in news.
Oh, no, I have one more. Well, I have a story that's going to go into entertainment with you.
Okay.
I just would like to again say, for the record, because oftentimes if you record it and state it,
yeah.
At 6:41 tonight, Stacey Lewis sent me a message on Facebook and says, "Are you going to embarrass me?" And I said, "Hell no, because I don't have to."
Yeah.
Cool.
Holy shit.
I think it was a big, huge coup.
No, it was.
I'm sure. Well, don't break the bell. Jesus.
The
I think it's time. Al, are you ready? I think we can get this. Stacey, we're not signing off either, so just roll with it on this one, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
We are in the orgy of entertainment news. The SAG Awards happened. The Oscar nominations happened. The Critics Awards happened. Turns out there's a gay and lesbian... entertainment critics that have awards that nobody even fucking told me about. ABC kills off Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, really quickly.
Which is kind of its own headline.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was it in Cabot Cove?
Sleepy Hollow destroys the competition and signs off for the year, and then a bunch of shit that I'll find when I get to it.
Entertainment!
Okay.
Right. So as we know, it's the most wonderful time for Al Perkins. Of the year. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
for all humans, really. And I wish I could see this. So I will have you know that on the day of the Academy Award nominations last Thursday morning, they changed them from Tuesday mornings to Thursday mornings. I thought I was covered. I have this shit down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nope, had to have new people cover me 2 years in a row. So next year I'm ready. No more Wednesday nights and Oscar week. Going into, and now I have not seen as many movies as I should. I can't even do an honest to God top 10 list of best movies like Buddy Early can, because I don't feel I've seen enough movies. But when it comes to the Academy Awards, to see every movie nominated in every category except for documentary and foreign language film, I have to see 5 movies.
Okay.
And one of them is like Lone Ranger. And the other one is Jackass Bad Grandpa. So you know these were things I wasn't aiming for.
I enjoyed Lone Ranger along with my mom.
No, no, and I'm not saying it wasn't something I was... for me, it was going to be a video movie no matter what.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I love Armie Hammer. I want to enjoy him in the privacy of my own home with lotion and a tissue. Especially any scenes where he does something halfway nude with Johnny Depp. But the nominations were out. I am here to tell you there really is not... a bad. There is not one slub in the group. There's not one. There, honest to God, is not one thing that shouldn't be here. No one got like an honorary Oscar or an honorary anything. Everybody's fully deserving. We'll go down Best Picture first. American Hustle, fantastic. Captain Phillips, loved it. Great movie. Dallas Buyers Club. Who would? No one expected this to be a Best Picture nominee. This is a huge, big deal that this movie made it this far. Again, had no distribution at. Not even this time last year. Like, I think we were like this is like March or April. This movie still had no distribution that we talked about. Losing all that weight and making this movie for no money.
Yep.
Gravity makes it. Her, which I saw this week. I'll give you a little review later. Nebraska. Remember I told you funny? June Squibb. Philomena, which led to like 3 weeks ago, a month ago, big conversation about adoption. 12 Years a Slave, a probable Best Picture, and then The Wolf of Wall Street, which is my sentimental favorite. So if you come to my house for Oscar night, that will be my should win and not my will win. Best Director, David O. Russell, who we've all been waiting for to get a Best Director nomination. Man who started off with a movie about masturbation ends up with a Best Director nomination. Alfonso Cuarón. Alexander Payne, who I feel is kind of cheating us. Started off with Reese Witherspoon in Election and Citizen Ruth about abortion rights. Now makes these movies that are good when you first see them, then a week later you're like, yeah, I don't really know. 12 Years a Slave, and Martin Scorsese gets in for Wolf of Wall Street because everybody listens to me. Okay, Best Actress. Amy Adams, as I've been predicting since the minute I saw the movie and from the people that tweeted from the first screener, Amy Adams gets the nomination for American Hustle. Who does she boot out? Not Emma Thompson, everyone's lock, and the one that they said was going to get nominated. Oh, no. Emma Thompson's out the fucking door. Meryl Streep makes it in for nomination number 18 with Cate Blanchett, who will probably win. And as much as I'd like to see Sandra Bullock win again, I think this is the only race that's over. Judi Dench for Philomena, which got a Best Picture nomination, Best Screenplay nomination. I mean, this is a big deal for this. Steve Coogan, who's a British comedian, really no one thought this movie would go anywhere but Judi Dench. And a lot of kudos for Steve Coogan writing this story. And if you've seen him, he made a fabulous movie called The Trip. Fabulous. I mean, just amazing. And then Meryl Streep for August Osage County. Christian Bale makes it in for American Hustle, which is a huge surprise.
It's the first time you've heard his name. Yeah.
And this is really, every category is so tough this year. There's no clear, every category is tough. Christian Bale makes it in. Who does he boot out? The one that we want, the snub of the year. He boots out Robert Redford.
Oh.
For All Is Lost,
which
the movie I did not
about,
like. I'm
Ryan?
Thrilled about. That's a snub I was okay with. And he boots out Oscar Davis for Inside Llewyn Davis. Again, glad to see that movie go, because it sucked. Bruce Stern makes it for Nebraska. He will not get a career Oscar. This is the only category where, and I say that there's always one category where I'm like, anybody but Bruce Stern. Anybody but Bruce Stern. So Bruce Stern will win. Because whenever I'm doing that chant, the person I'm chanting, anybody but him, always fucking wins. Leonardo gets his nomination. Buddy Early, fuck you!
Oh.
Every time I mention Leonardo's brilliant performance, Buddy has to like piss on my fucking parade and tell me it's not going to happen. And Leonardo wins a Critics' Choice Award. He gets an Oscar nomination. He wins the Golden Globe. Fuck you, Buddy Early. Leonardo's on a roll.
Oh.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, 12 Years a Slave, makes it in. Probably not going to win. Matthew McConaughey, Dallas Buyers Club, up the list, winning everything left and right. Got the memo from GLAAD. And all of a sudden, he went from, like, I'm a fucking stoner to now I'm a stoner that mentions gay people and the AIDS cause and the movement and the fight and the struggle, but then mentions Neptune because there's something seriously fucking
something
wrong with this
guy.
Right? Yeah. biggest career turnaround I think I have ever seen from someone who I would, I mean, we're not at Nicolas Cage levels, but we're just up to the Nicolas Cage levels of me not entering a movie theater with Matthew McConaughey. All of a sudden has this brilliant career going on, and we'll get back to him later. Supporting actor, big surprises, Bradley Cooper, American Hustle, makes it in. American Hustle sweeps. First movie, I think we have to go back to Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf or David O. Russell last year for Silver Linings Playbook to find a movie that's got actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress,
which
writer,
also Bradley
director,
Cooper,
and
right?
editing. Because remember the big thing for those of us in the Oscar know, which is like me, editing is your key to best picture. If you don't get an editing, the last one to win best picture without a best editing nomination is Ordinary People. So you have to go back like 34 years to find it. Editing is your nomination.
Wasn't Bradley Cooper involved in both of those? He's American Hustle and was in Silver Linings, correct?
Yes. Yeah. He like David O. Russell likes his actors, and almost everybody. Okay. Christian Bale was in The Fighter 2 years prior, got his Oscar. So Jonah Hill makes it for The Wolf of Wall Street. Fuck you, buddy, early.
Wow.
But I love you.
Jeez.
But Jared Leto.
The review.
But
the views of Al Perkins.
I think Jared Leto is our big lock. Cate Blanchett is like a pretty permanent lock, but Jared Leto I think is going to win. Glorious hair, great acceptance speeches. He's lovely. He's lovely. And I thought he was 17. I honestly did not know who
he looks so young.
I saw the movie, it ended, and I'm like, I gotta Google this kid. This is obviously some Disney kid that just grew up, like Shia LaBeouf, that I've never heard of. No, it's Jared Leto from like the 90s, who looks 16 fucking years old. Mm. He's our age.
And now looks like Jesus.
And he's lovely.
Yeah.
I want to worship Jesus
and
on
very
my knees.
Smart.
With,
no, but yeah,
with
right,
the room.
Well,
on my
cool. I thought that Cate Blanchett's speech was hysterical at the SAG Awards because of that Neptune shit. She's like, 29 seconds.
He talked about Neptune.
McConaughey was talking about Neptune.
I'm only on Mars. I got time. And she's a class act.
She really is.
You can't argue with anybody winning in any of these categories. Really, I can't argue with. Sally Hawkins, Blue Jasmine, Jennifer Lawrence, American Hustle, Lupita Nyong'o, and there's your race. Jennifer Lawrence for American Hustle, Lupita Nyong'o
and
for
how about her?
12 Years a Slave, the most beautiful woman alive as far
and,
as I'm concerned.
So eloquent and artistic.
The dress was
just
gorgeous.
Everything.
The jewelry was gorgeous. The skin was gorgeous. Julia Roberts
speaks
in. The
speech was amazing.
It's her fourth career nomination. June Good. Squibb for Nebraska. Now, what's funny here is I saw her this weekend, and this doesn't say that it's nominated. Oh, it is. It's called The Moon Song. Okay, so her, Spike Jonze. Spike Jonze makes a movie. Luckily, he's only on four, so you're not that far behind. He made Adaptation, Inside, Being John Malkovich. He made something about a beast. It's a cartoony movie. I can't think what it's called. But then he made this one, Her. This is his most accessible. It's about someone falling in love with their iOS device. It's like falling in love with Siri in a slightly advanced Los Angeles. This movie is so accessible, so enjoyable, such a comment about how we interact with our computer instead of with other people. And as it goes on and this iOS system comes up and everybody is like, my new best friend is my iOS. Oh, I'm dating her. Oh, you know, she's cheating on her iOS with someone else. And it's just so commonplace as everyone has this relationship with someone who's just taking their cues. They're just your yes man. It's like Britney Spears getting all of her information and no one saying, take a singing lesson, bitch. You know what I mean? Like, it's very strange. It's very topical. And it was very light and entertaining and beautiful performances. Amy Adams is in this one, too, which is why I think she's our best actress of the year.
Wow.
She's in this one, Frumpy. But there's a little song that the computer writes with Joaquin Phoenix in another breathtaking performance. And it's called The Moon Song. And when it ended, I'm like, oh, the nominations came out and that song wasn't nominated. I just didn't catch it in the nominations. But it's fabulous. From documentary, Blackfish was snubbed in a shocking turn of events. And I don't understand why. But The Act of Killing, where they have people from, and I can't remember what country it's from, they dress up and they act out the atrocities they perform during this war. And it's all done as a catharsis of, like, what you did. And I can't remember what war it is, but look up The Act of Killing and find it. I think it comes out on video next week. It's really bizarre. So that's it for the Oscars. So then the SAG Awards were handed out, which we'll just go over really briefly. Matthew McConaughey keeps winning. I don't think he's a lock for Best Actor because I want Leo to win, so I'm blind
denial.
You're
making it not happen. No.
Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. I'm pretty sure that's going to win. Jared Leto, great speech. Oprah snubbed.
Big time.
Big time.
And they even kept the camera off her. Like, short of, I mean, I think it panned to her twice. The end.
Yeah, but snubbed at the end. And I really thought this was our Oscar-winning performance of the year. And she's out of there.
And so is everything from Fruitvale Station. So there's some timing issues with screeners and who got screeners and what time they got out.
Do you think it would have been different if the butler, excuse me, Lee Daniels.
Lee
the
Daniels.
Butler,
the butler.
The butler. If that had been released closer to November, December.
But they got really good box office. It made a lot of money. And Fruitvale Station actually made a lot of money. The other movie that was ignored was 42, the Jackie Robinson story, which I thought Harrison Ford, this is just such a tough year. Like, what a great year for movies. If you're a movie lover like me, this has been a standout year for movies. Lupita Nyong'o wins Gorgeous American Hustle, which turns it into a three-way tie now because the Producers Guild gave out their awards. First time ever, a tie at the Producers Guild. And they have the same fucked up voting system as the Oscars. 12 Years a Slave and Gravity tied for Best Picture. Never happened before. They had to put out a whole press release as to how it's even possible. 12 Years a Slave and Gravity. So all of a sudden you have Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, and American Hustle all in a serious race. So no one knows who's going to win. But I think Alfonso Cuarón is a lock for Best Director. Personal opinion, but I think it's going to happen. SAG Awards, lazy on television. Helen Mirren wins for Best Actor in a TV Movie. Ugh. I'm sure it was great, but really laziness. Bryan Cranston wins for Breaking Bad. That's been getting a lot of press. Maggie Smith wins for Downton Abbey. She's doing Maggie Smith. She's been playing the same fucking part for 4 years. Get over it. And then everything else was kind of boring there.
Totally enjoyed The Modern Family.
Yes, great Ty speeches. Burrell. Great speeches.
That was cute.
The big snub is Emma Thompson. Tom Hanks not nominated for Captain Phillips, even though it's nominated for Best Picture. A shocking turn of events. No supporting nomination, no nomination. Do people not love him anymore?
Sure.
It's all computer voting for the Oscars. So there's been some, that's some big snubs, like really big.
I think they like him better in roles like Sleepless in Seattle kind of stuff.
I do too, but nominated for tough roles. Like he's a big time, he's a four-time nominee that should have got, five-time nominee. He should have got his sixth, if not seventh. Kind of a big deal. That's it for that. What else we got? Gay and Lesbian Awards gave out. There's a Gay and Lesbian Critics Awards. I never heard of these fucking people. James Franco won something because
everybody
thinks
you could get on their panel because you should.
Yeah, exactly. But James Franco won something because everyone thinks he's gay. so he got for like.
I think he'd be willing to
closest person to gay that we found without being gay. But 12 Years a Slave wins Best Picture there. Steve McQueen wins Best Director, Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club, Kate Blanchett for Best Actress. But Kate Blanchett, I don't think we can fight that train any longer.
She really agreed with it. So classy.
I mean, she's not in The Wolf of Wall Street, so I guess I'm okay with her winning.
It'll do.
So the Murder, She Wrote thing that was supposed to start with Octavia Spencer, not nominated for Fruitvale Station, a big snub. It was all going to come out. Angela Lansbury got on Twitter. She had to find out what a computer was, what a phone was, what a Twitter was, and tweet that shit.
She was outside chasing birds.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
I was going to say something really awful, but I think we've tread that line enough.
We're there.
She said no about Cabot's Cove.
Right.
I've never seen one episode, but I know where it takes place. Isn't that funny?
You've never seen
I've never seen one episode of Murder, She Wrote.
I used to love to watch it.
I did, too.
Love to watch
it.
And
you didn't like
The Cosby Show. Not funny.
Which I still don't get that.
I don't understand at all.
Because it wasn't funny. but they were charming. Yeah. Oh shit, I erased the one page. So, Sleepy Hollow just finished up season one. They did a 2-hour season finale. They did some finagling of the schedule to get Sleepy Hollow, and it killed everybody. So this stupid show that only I'm watching with this really hot British guy is killing it at the ratings, and no one understands why. Like, it's about a 17th century guy, or not really, 18th century guy that comes back to life, wears the same clothes, and they had a really funny thing where they were listening to me on the show and they decided to change his clothes and he just went in and changed back. He was like, nah, I don't like that.
Oh.
He was like, skinny jeans? I don't think so. So that was really funny. But it did its season finale yesterday and beat like NBC's Blacklist, like shows killing it. The other show that's not getting any attention if you're not watching it, Mom, with Allison Janney.
Just, I've heard it's hysterical, but no, I've not seen it.
Just gets better and better because I just erased everything else that was on my list. So she is so likable. The way back, phenomenal performance. I don't understand where – I just don't understand why Allison Janney is not being nominated for everything she shows up in. She is so likable.
Yes.
So funny. So –
and just timing. Like it's just – it's so natural and just the most perfect timing.
Who?
Allison Janney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. West Wing.
Juno. Have you seen Juno?
I don't watch TV.
Okay, then I can't help you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then really don't look at me like I'm crazy when you're not watching
right.
anything.
I'm like, oh, I don't
so
know.
So now your new reasons to get HBO. We have to start at Matthew McConaughey. Buy one Matthew McConaughey, get one
True
free.
Detectives.
True Detective.
I'm DVRing it.
What? Okay. Now, I have not seen episode two because of my working, but episode one, dense, beautiful, tonally perfect. This show is
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey chasing a serial killer in the Deep South, mm-hmm. told in flashbacks. Oh, my God.
An hour at a time.
Yes. This. Yeah. I think there's only going to be like 8 episodes, mm-hmm. and it's going to be like American Horror Story where they're going to change casts and
right.
stories every year. Seriously, you have got to watch the show. It was... I just rewound it and watched it a second time and was tempted to watch it a third time, but then realized it's called True Detective on HBO. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And Matthew McConaughey can do no wrong. I don't know what the hell, who he paid, who he slept with.
Yeah, where this came from.
What deal he made with the devil that he went from one of the second most annoying actor of all time to this accomplished actor giving two performances. It's told in flashbacks. He's giving you two different characters. Oh, my God. Phenomenal.
No. I just can't stand to hear him talking.
All
just,
right, when all gives, right, all right.
No, I do too. And like the award shows, I want to fast forward because he's annoying stand it. The piss
but
out of me.
But yet it's almost like a train wreck. And so I had to, I'm with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I can't.
Because it's like marbles in his mouth. And
I
like, oh,
honestly
God,
can't turn it off, but yeah. I want to. But his acting
no,
now.
No, it's just the doobie he just smoked before going up on
right.
stage.
Right, and he might be the cautionary tale about legal marijuana is that right. might be the limit.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely.
He might be knocking on the door of where he got to stop smoking.
That's right.
But this True Detective, I don't buy, borrow, steal, whatever you have to do to watch this show. That I haven't seen the second episode yet to see if they kept it up. Pilots are always very different from episode number two, but I cannot say enough good things about like what the fuck it was I watched there. Looking is the new gay show with, God damn it, I already forgot it, Jonathan Groff yeah. from Spring Awakenings, three gay guys in San Francisco trying to find relationships and love, and it's Sex in the City in San Francisco with guys. Sexy, fun, light, 30 minutes. It was lovely. It was very nice. And the sex was appropriate. It wasn't like penetration shots. It wasn't porn.
Oh.
But it was very straight up honest. Like there was a funny little three-way that you saw coming and you knew from the minute the guy was introduced that somehow there was going to be a three-way because he was so sexy and so like the energy was so right for like, you know how gay TV can be a little like ick?
Like, sure.
Like I don't buy it. This was just really good. And Jonathan Groff, clean shaven, beautiful, just an innocent little, not innocent, but just wanting better things from life. And he just giggled his way through a sex park, which made me laugh because that's me, like trying to go to like one of those sex parks and just laughing the whole way and trying to talk to people like, have you seen this on HBO? We're here for a blowjob. And I'm like, I can't do it. I seriously can't do that kind of stuff. So it was, I found it very funny.
I have nothing to say.
I'm normally quite quiet during this section because Katie's the TV person, kind of like, well, to her a little bit, you know, they all talk about this stuff. Yeah.
And then I have, the only other thing I have is that now the Critics' Choice Awards, really, just craziness, because they have 18,000 different categories to make sure that everybody in the room gets an award. Yeah, they really do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Say that number again.
Oh, well, it's close.
It's pretty close.
A little bit.
So Best Actor in a Comedy, again, and I'm going to do Fuck You, Buddy Early, who I love. And I read all his reviews. But Leonardo DiCaprio, because I saw the picture of him winning an award, and I'm like, yay, Leo won! Fuck you, Buddy Early! No, it was Best Actor in a Comedy.
Right?
I mean, it was like 37 pages later. Right. But he's being such a ham-hander, and they haven't decided...
Yeah, but that's what they had him for in Golden Globes, right?
Right.
Comedy?
Yeah, comedy. And he was like, why am I in a comedy?
Right.
But the funny thing is he's playing the game, he's playing it well. Mm-hmm. He's the lead actor in a three-hour movie where he's in every minute of 3 hours. That camera does not cut away to someone else but
and
Leonardo.
And he's really grown up.
Wow.
Like, yeah,
he's
and
really
he looks good.
Grown up.
He so does look good, I agree.
And looks-wise, but I mean, as far as his maturity, with his speech with the Golden Globes and just his...
Oh, it's a class
I
act.
Was like, okay, nice.
And he's working with Martin Scorsese, who I have a very love-him relationship with Martin Scorsese. Doug's going to come over here and stab me in the throat and do a, fuck you, Al Perkins! But, you know, Raging Bull, I don't really care. Robert De Niro's good, but the rest of it I don't give a shit about.
Remember what you said earlier about, you know, when you realize that people are older and you forget where the time goes? And every time I see him, though, to me, because I so enjoyed the movie, to me, I don't think Titanic was but last week. So when I see him, I'm like... My God, he's grown up. He's not—he's not the kid.
And he's 40.
And then when you then when you go back and you, then you even see him back on the sitcom in the '80s he was on
with growing, Kirk Cameron,
Growing Pains. You're like, holy shit, he's been around forever. And you forget.
I saw Titanic in the 3D re-release a couple years ago. No, maybe last year.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God, he's gorgeous. I mean, I seriously wanted a hand towel and a bottle of lotion because I'm like, this kid's fucking lovely. Like, no wonder I'm retarded for him.
Paul Rubens, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
Paul Rubens.
Right.
Exactly. Outside of Florida. I'm going to do it in Arizona. Second stupidest country in the nation. State of the nation.
He was little adventure over here.
That's very rude.
What?
But I have Paul to tell Rubens. You, in my big beef with lead actor, lead actress, are they truly a lead or is it just a glorified supporting role? And I have to tell you, everybody in these movies is in the right category. But Leonardo, that's 3 hours of only Leonardo. Okay. And Kate Blanchett and the only one I went to is Sandra Bullock because it's 90 minutes of Sandra Bullock by herself. Sure. And it made something like $700 million worldwide. There is not one other person that could make...
People flock
there's
to
not
the theater
another
like that.
Woman that could make a $750 million movie with one woman. It's never happened before. It's not like not even anywhere close.
And then it's
and she's over 40. It's not a 20-year-old woman. It's an over 40-year-old woman.
But they're not even. It seems like now. Early on, they were giving her the props, but it seems like now, not as much.
Well, no, Cate Blanchett's been since the summer.
Right.
She's really the interloper. What's the word they use in
interloper.
The Kids Are All Right? She's an interloper.
She's an interloper.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite line in The Kids Are All Right. But she really is. She came along later. This is Cate Blanchett's leading actress Oscar, and she's deserved. Sandy already has one, so I gotta
kind of gotta give it up.
We are wrapping up end of hour two.
If you're watching on video, that's something I gotta give it up.
We've got one more hour coming
same
up.
Same face I make when I gotta get fucked.
A couple other little stories. A couple other little stories.
That's like three dinners.
The red light means shut up. Jesus. A couple more stories. Thoughtful vulgarity is coming up. Much more. We're gonna talk about a lot because Katie's not here.
Plant
we gotta fill time.
In my ass.
It's all good. We'll be back in just seconds.
The show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening once again. 9 o'clock, coming to you live from Studio C in the heart of central Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for joining us. Sorry to all those people out there who are experiencing bad winter weather. We're not.
And Tyler, if you're listening, we just don't know. Tyler and Donnie, if you're listening, we have no idea because our usual chat room people aren't here.
The chat room link is not showing up on the webpage, and Joe is in Seattle and can't help us with it right now. So, unfortunately, we can't. However, I can give
Laura
you...
Laura found us.
Well, hi, Laura.
Laura must have had the link. I'm not sure
Laura
how Laura did it.
Laura has special powers.
She does. And brownies.
I've tasted those.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have Laura as a special guest star.
No, we absolutely can. No, if we don't have their number, we can't text them.
No, they can text us.
No, they can't. They can get us through there's a chat room online.
Right.
We'll get you into all that. hello to people in Kuwait, the U.S., the Russian Federation, still listening to us. So,
Russian Federation, come back next week and get on the chat.
And let us know what we're.
We're very excited. We want to know where in the Russian Federation or where the Russian Federation is. Because we are all failing in geography today.
Yeah, we typically always fail in geography.
Oh, and since we're going to pretend it's still entertainment. Can I mention one thing?
Well, it's still I haven't gotten to my little entertainment story. Go ahead. And you haven't rep. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's on Facebook today. The geography test that we took a couple weeks ago on here, so I'm convinced we already went viral.
Right.
Where you have to click on and name every state.
Right.
You have to, it's a
further South Dakota.
It's No, this is different. This one is, they give you and they're even easy. They give you the 50 states and they give you the map and you have to just drag and click.
Okay.
And everybody's posting their results all over Facebook and it's really funny. Like Vermont and New Hampshire, like really smart people are mixing up Vermont and New Hampshire. No one can find Rhode Island because they can't figure out where to drag and click it to. Because
it's so small.
Because the map is so small
right. That
there is no Rhode Island. So they're like, they just throw it in that area and hope it lands. So one of them had it as an actual island off of the coast of North America.
That's great.
It is poorly named. After I saw that they made it an island off the coast of Massachusetts, I'm like, well, that kind of makes sense. It shouldn't be landlocked. It's, right. It's not really landlocked. There's ocean at the bottom. But funny, funny stuff. So you got to go online and do the dragon click map.
It just, I don't remember which ones I forgot. I forgot Maryland. There were only two that
yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah, you forgot two. Katie only forgot
Maryland
like three,
and Delaware.
And he gave up.
I think it was Maryland and Delaware.
Oh, Delaware it was.
Yeah.
I easily forgot.
Maryland's yeah, and I lived in Maryland for like 6 months a year.
Maryland's
or something.
The one that touches D.C.
Well, I know that now.
No, D.C.'s in the middle. Yeah.
I know that now. I just forgot those.
Anyway. There's that.
I'm from that board.
All right, so what was your entertainment story?
In celebration of her 93rd birthday and the 50th anniversary of the classic musical Hello, Dolly, three-time Tony Award winner Carol Channing returned to the New York stage on Monday for an evening town hall. Of course, she showed up
Did
in her...
Did she know she was there?
Yes. Okay. She showed up in her trademark all-white pantsuit and was joined by performance artist Justin Vivian Bond, who moderated apparently an hour-long discussion, and they just talked about all kinds of different things. And in her, she still has a wry sense of humor, and she apparently brought down the house several times with answers to questions and so forth. When asked why didn't she and Mary Martin ever make it to Broadway in Legends, the quick-witted Channing responded, "It was a terrible show." Then she came back and said, "I'm sorry, that was a bitch remark." She said,
"Nice."
She also one of the guys asked a question about her famous role in, the want to know why one can eat jam tomorrow, jam yesterday, but never jam today, a nod to Channing's famous role in the television version of Alice in Wonderland. And she actually stopped and she stared blankly for about 45 seconds. And she simply said, "How does he remember that?"
How do people remember anything
she
and
did?
And Betty White just turned 90.
93.
93 as well. 93. That's what I thought the story was going
to
be about her.
No, I just, when I saw the Carol Channing, yeah, I just had to throw Carol.
Because I thought you were going to say it was 50 years since the start of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and I was going to kill you till you were dead.
No. 50 years since Hello, Dolly.
Because I was kill you till you were dead.
I'm like, that means I've been lying about my age for several
years. For more years.
Stop
years.
Doing that. Stop it.
That's right. So, no, but lovely Carol Channing.
And Laura from the chat room suggests, yes, not that it wasn't a charming story about Carol Channing
and
Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's.
But Laura suggests Googling Q-Talk chat.
Very nice. Google
and that Q-talk. She found it that way. So throw it out there, because I hope Tyler's in here, because that was a lot of entertainment for him.
Well, yeah, really.
We'll find out more about that. I think that pretty much wraps up that portion. Do you said you had some sports stuff or no?
Yeah, I
do too.
I have some sports stuff.
You do?
And some other stuff.
And so as well,
and
let's do that.
In sports, the extra point may get the boot. Richard Sherman, bad, good. Broncos Seahawks, February 2nd in the Smoke Bowl. I mean Super Bowl. And rants of our time by athletes and coaches
in sports
and other stuff.
That was really fast.
When you get to the Smoke Bowls, I got something to say.
I like it. I like it. That was a lot to put together. Sorry. So the extra point may get the boot in football. Clayton, that's where they kick the ball?
I'm well aware of what it is.
Just wanted to make sure.
She's so defensive.
God, seriously.
She makes one coup on a football field.
I know. She totally thinks we're talking about hockey right now.
Yeah. I thought it was chess.
Is it a puck? Mm. They're talking about eliminating Goodell. Roger Goodell, the commissioner, is talking about eliminating the extra point. Because it's
so just nothing or two-point conversion? Is that our choices? Because I'd like that.
Well, the extra point is seemingly automatic. So what they're saying is one option could be to award just 7 points for a touchdown instead of six. They didn't go to a two-point kind of conversion, which I think would be very interesting. I'd be interested in that. You either get six.
Or eight. I like it.
And that way you have to work at it.
You can already do that, though, can't you?
You can. But, you have the option
to go
for two.
But the kick for the seventh point is such a gimme that it's not even worth doing.
Well, and they're saying in here, it says the extra point is almost automatic. I believe we had 5 missed extra points this year out of 1,200 some odd attempts.
Yeah.
So it really is kind of a chip shot, and it's right there. I know for a fact that I've watched games where my boys have missed the extra point, and you're like, are you kidding?
Yeah. Like, I think I could make it.
Yeah, because one
it's
of those
so routine,
five.
Yeah.
Seriously. One of those five I know for a fact.
Which would be a real coup for the gays.
Ta-ta.
Thank you. Ta-ta.
I know for a fact
next week our word will be ta-ta.
And then we can put it all together. It'll be like Lecter Company.
Coup, ta-ta. Coup, ta-ta.
Rita Moreno.
Oh.
How great was that? Lovely.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe I missed her.
But Blair Walsh for the Minnesota Vikings was one who missed it. After Adrian busted his ass to get into the end zone. And all of a sudden, he is just sitting there and they're celebrating. And he looks up and he goes, are you kidding? When our guy, I mean, he misses the chip shot. So it happens.
But again, that's a Minnesota thing. So we've explained one out of five.
But the deal with that is that when you're missing those kind of, you miss that one point. It's a big deal.
No, but it's huge.
Even those five, I don't care if it's five games or
especially
not.
Especially if you're the Cardinals, because every game is within 3 points. The Cardinals only play three quarters of football, so they can only win by 3 points.
And it's also a difference between, do you have to go just for a field goal to tie it or for a touchdown? I mean, that 1 point can be a big deal. So that is a very interesting, but I'm not good with it just giving them 7 points. You either get six.
Or eight. Yeah, so six. And then if you want to go for the extra point and you have to do a scoring drive because short yardage scoring is very hard.
And that would make every team.
Even drunk.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
That would make every team, of course, go for two, which gives an extra play. Yes. It gives its added incentive. Absolutely. That
Moira,
could make sense.
I am with you on this one.
Well, thanks. They call me Aaron. And so,
I thought you were Marnie. I'm so confused.
Sometimes I am. It depends on the day. The February 2nd. I would like
Super Bowl Sunday.
I would like everyone to join in on the Smokeable. I mean Super Bowl. The two states.
What?
You can only use that joke once or twice and get away with it.
No, you can keep using it.
Because
Doritos.
Week number three of Wake and Bake, because I keep working Monday nights. I'm going to interrupt you.
That's weird.
I want to let you know that someone asked for what they thought was uninformed opinion.
Oh,
there's another.
That's weird.
They thought I didn't know from football. They were playing the gay card. Didn't know I was. And so they said to me, we're gonna call this in the year of our Lord 2013 Christmas Day. I was working. They said, who's going to be in the Super Bowl, faggy? They didn't really say it like that. They were trying to be kind but condescending at the same time. And I'm like, what's going to be Seattle and Denver? I'm like, it's the two best teams, and it's kind of obvious, I think, isn't it, at this point? Mm-hmm. So yesterday,
well done,
Bitchface McCudita.
I thought he was referencing Buddy Irving.
No, he came around on Sunday night, and he's like, does anybody else know that you picked the Super Bowl teams like 3 weeks ago? I'm like, oh, bitch, I picked them in November. You just got around to asking my gay ass
in December,
3 weeks ago.
Right.
Very good.
And I didn't get the Stoner Bowl, and I'm like, well, I would have picked them sooner if I would have paid attention to elections, but you know I'm not political.
No.
Whatever.
No, you're not.
I'll take cosmic bullshit for 500.
That's right. Well, that will be held. I think it'll be very interesting to see what the weather brings, being that it's out east and it's one of the first outdoor.
Yes.
Up north.
In the very respectable and no controversy state of New Jersey.
New Jersey.
I wonder if there's going to be any trouble getting there.
Nope. Bridges will be open.
Bridges are open. Lanes are open. All your Super Sandy money is being handed freely and gladly.
I like it.
So the best thing ever, and the way that I found out about the pot bowl, or whatever we're calling it.
It's just a Super Bowl.
So everybody in the Western New York area is posting, please legalize marijuana so the Bills can make it to the Super Bowl.
That's funny.
It was all day Sunday.
That's funny.
I was sitting at work, and I'm like, when I take my break, I just sit on the computer and kind of like eat my food and zone out and don't think about the flu. Mm. And I was like, what the fuck are all these people talking about legalizing pot in New York? And I thought, of course, I don't have anything to do with politics. But I was thinking it must be the Rockefeller laws. And then I was like, oh, fuck no, that's the elections. And then you got to wonder, what are they smoking in Oregon that they said, no, we're not going to vote for legalized pot. Right? I mean, seriously, you can buy pot at a Dunkin' Donuts if it's June of 2003 and you're standing outside of a Dunkin' Donuts at 12 p.m. It's a story I heard.
But maybe.
Allegedly.
That's right.
God. Might have been inside the Dunkin' Donuts. I wasn't sure of all
the
deets.
We don't know.
We have to abbreviate something.
Sometimes.
It was totes adorbs.
Cray cray.
Cray cray.
I almost feel like Kitty June's here.
Oh my God, totes adorbs.
It was totes adorbs. They sell munchkins.
Soup.
And then they throw them at the wall because they dress them all in Velcro.
I'm stayed out of this conversation.
I was getting ready to bring you into it.
We haven't done one dwarf tossing joke.
What about a dwarf? I just shipped a box to Duke today. I did. My friend Duke back in Missouri.
Okay, that is either the most tortured metaphor I've ever been a part of.
No, I enjoy that.
All right, go on. I just had to tell you that.
What were you going to ask, Clayton? You said you're going.
No, I just was going to bring Stacey into it because the herb is spoken of freely and often in this little
based
room.
On no prior knowledge.
We have no idea because
he and Stacey have experience with it. I don't believe Marnie does at all, and I don't. So I just was going to add your opinions on the legalization or the banning of, because according to Obama, it's no more harmful than alcohol.
Less so.
I understand. I'm just making a joke.
I really think it's less harmful, zero harmful, compared to alcohol. Oh, wait. I want to borrow. I shouldn't have said
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, come on. I have friends that do it.
I've never done it, but I have friends that do it.
I know gay people.
Right.
No, I do not do it.
I'm surprised.
They can't live without it every day. And I hope some of them are listening because it's true. And if that's all I have to say.
I think there is a little bit of a psychological addiction component to it that maybe is being overlooked. I can't say that I know one pot horror story. Like, I don't know one story that started off with we got stoned and then ended in anything but, I just don't know one.
Eat a bag of nachos.
Yeah, at McDonald's drive.
And like I said, this is all tangentially. I've never seen the stuff. I don't even know what it smells like. I think it's all skunks.
Sure. Sell it.
But I just want to point out that I honest to God, I don't. And if you know of one, I'd like you to share it with me because I just don't have never heard one.
A bad story.
I don't know. I mean, maybe
you had sex too long. Maybe you slept with somebody.
The problem is people putting shit in it.
I have, but I don't.
And that once it's laced, I mean, that I've seen where people are smoking pot, and now you have other people that I know that would say, oh my God, this was, we're talking back in high school, but people saying, oh my God, you know, pot is horrible, and I'm adamantly opposed to it.
Again,
no, it's laced with something.
Now, granted, I'm only like two or three, it's like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I've never been close to someone smoking pot. I have never ever heard a laced story that was true and just that, like, drank a bunch
of
shit.
Well, then if it was because this person was not drinking and I was there.
Because usually it's just you drank a bunch of shit and then you said to smoke a joint, you threw up all over the house.
Seidel and I smoked this. Yeah. And then this gal, Kim, this guy came over and was like, you know, hey, why don't you come with me and blah, blah, blah. She went with him and not, like, went off to where we couldn't see them. They were just sitting over at this place and smoking. We did not smoke the same thing. And she, honest to God, we had been high with her before. We had been drunk with her before. We had been high and drunk with her before. No.
But I also don't know.
And it was crazy and scary.
But I would like to say, in all honesty, I don't know of any. I have never heard a story of someone that I knew personally that wasn't like my friend's cousin's dog, sister's third cousin's fourth relative. Mm-hmm. I don't know of anybody who's actually seriously been roofied. I don't know of one person that set their drink down.
That's what it would be called in 1987. I don't know, but this was like, fucking crazy.
I'm just saying, all my years in working in a bar, all my years of being an alcoholic.
Well, that's true, but you know, sometimes
I'm not saying it doesn't
somebody
happen.
Somebody hands
I'm just saying
you what do you call those with Rice Krispies?
Rice Krispie treat?
Yeah, that's it. Rice Krispie treats.
It's a use treat your words. Because you handed it to me.
Use your words, Stacey.
And I'm telling you, an hour later, you're at work and you're like, oh my God, what did I eat?
Right.
And you go to parties and somebody says you want a brownie cookie.
Now, I've certainly been handed a blender drink where I was more fucked up than I planned on being on a radio show.
Oh. Cool. Cool. Yeah.
That's the blender.
Yeah. That's the right.
But again, I don't know any first person roofie stories from alcohol.
Sure.
I know a lot of people that have made bad decisions on alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that have maybe gotten stoned and slept with the person sitting next to them that they probably didn't really care for that much, but the sex was probably good.
I'm going to tell you, I've been bartending for 14 years in this city, and the first time I ever heard a roofie story, some guy called me that I know, and I'm not going to name him, but he said, you know, I was in your bar this night, and me and my boyfriend were having a cocktail, and we had a shot, and all of a sudden we both fucked up. Oh, can I say that word?
Yeah, sure.
And, well, yeah, no.
We said cunt earlier. What are you missing?
Ooh.
Can you not see my mouth move?
And I said, well, I'd be glad to check the videos for you. And I did, and there was never anybody there. But, you know, it does happen. It hasn't happened to me.
right.
14 years.
Oh, yeah. Honey, I'm at drinking in bars. I didn't want to do the math. What am I at?
I wouldn't talk about it anymore. There should be no math. There should be no math.
Let's leave math out of this.
I'm at 31 years of drinking in gay
That'll
bars.
Be a
I don't have enough fingers to count.
No, you don't. Luckily, between the four of us, we do. But, well, not with you.
Fractions. That's still fractions.
37.
Goddamn fractions. But maybe I'm being a little Pollyanna on this. Maybe it's just happening without my knowledge. But I've never had a person. There's one story that circulates around Phoenix that everyone's, if you live in Phoenix and you've been in the gay scene, it happened like 10 or 11 years ago. There's the one famous roofie-ish story that just sounds like somebody got fucked up. Like, you know what I mean? I honestly don't think it was. I sort of remember that. Yeah.
Back in 2002 or so.
Ish. And I really don't think there's an innocent victim in that. There may be a victim, but I don't think anybody's innocent in that story.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea about that story. Anyway.
Interesting.
It is interesting. I don't.
Well, one more thing, Super Bowl, pot hole.
We were on sports.
Our boy.
Which one?
Oh, Russell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's Russell's name?
Quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? For the Seahawks?
I want to say Johnson, but that's not right.
No, it's, fuck.
Remember the picture we were admiring early in the season?
Yes.
Guess who's in the Super Bowl? Him!
That's him.
So how early have I been jacking off to this guy?
And Bruno Mars is halftime. How fucking happy am I?
Right?
Can you imagine?
He's gonna be real fucking cold.
I might watch the whole game.
Jalapeno marijuana bowl. That's what I'm calling it.
Oh, but
hot.
You have to throw pineapple in there too, because Bruno's
that's
from Hawaii.
Right,
and
right.
I love a pineapple with a jalapeno.
I'm gonna break a rule that night.
Oh, what's
oh,
that?
For the first time, I'm
pot.
Gonna show.
Oh.
That's not breaking a rule.
Oh, no.
I'm going to show the Super Bowl on three screens at my bar. No TVs.
Oh, that's
check
right.
Check it out.
He's not, because he's all about it, and I'm all about it. No TVs. The one TV is for karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're not showing shit in the bar all the time, which right. I love that.
Sure. Oh, you don't have TVs
he doesn't.
In your bar.
No. So, I love that, because people interact as opposed to just sit there and watch something. Yep.
But
I see people with their phones, and I'm like putting my hand over them and say, talk to your friends you came with. Put the fucking TV.
Yeah, I agree.
Right,
I agree.
But no, he is. Yeah. Did you acquire the other two Rokus?
Yeah,
good.
They got
and
here
I have
today.
I have to give it up for you in case I have it in 85-6 shows. I don't know what the fuck.
I think this is. This is the 88th.
But I have to give it up to you. As connected as you are, and as much as you check into stuff, you never pay more attention to your phone than you do me. Although that would be hard. Kind of loud.
No,
but
I don't.
Have to say, like, you're probably the person besides Martinez that pays the most attention to his phone. And I have never once thought felt slighted. No. Yeah, I've never once thought you should put that phone down.
No,
which I think is amazing.
Because when I'm with you, I enjoy talking to you.
I'm very entertaining.
Yes, very.
Clearly.
I enjoy that. But there are other people where I'm like, but I also pay a lot of attention to that. And even though I am as connected as I am, because of my work and being 24 hours, you know, the way the world is in mine. I do pay a lot of attention to that when I'm around people as to how much they don't interact. And I really base my allegiances on a lot of that. It's like, okay, this is the level of person you're going to be with me, because if you don't want to interact with me, I'm good with that.
How important am I sitting here with that?
And you know that if I answer a call, it's movie trivia. Because you know if it's work calling, I'm not going. Because if I'm with you, I'm probably drinking. So you know the only other thing would be like movie trivia. Like somebody has a burning question about, you know, Elizabeth Taylor's 5 Oscar nominations and what year did they happen.
I
must answer because I know that Google is down.
Let me tell you, he comes to have a drink or two or whatever, and he and I
like whatever. That's a big number.
And
I'm sure
I'm able to walk away and do whatever it is I do.
We're all wondering.
And, and he has no
curiosity.
Problem with that.
You know,
that's really a difficult thing to do.
No, I like it when you walk away.
Yeah. Well,
I don't understand what you're saying. It's a difficult thing to do away and come back and still.
No, I may not ever come back that night, and you're perfectly fine with it. You understand.
No, that I'm fine with.
Oh, yeah. I think all of us understand
But you're also talking
industry.
To a person that I have no problem going to a restaurant or a diner or eating alone. I'm that person. I'm fine with that.
Me too.
And again, I look at people who can do that thinking that might be an interesting person if they're comfortable with doing that, if they're comfortable enough with themselves to do that.
Yeah.
Sure. So more stories from Moira.
However I self-identify.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman has been a huge topic of conversation for a lot of people concerning the Seattle Seahawks and his rant at the end, of the game.
It was like 42 seconds.
Well, it was definitely angry.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting to me because I like to know kind of the minute I see something like that, I'm like, and I'm online because I want to know what's the real story about this guy, you know? Is he always like this? Because if he is, how is that possible?
Oh, that's dead.
Because I never heard really of Richard Sherman. Like making a huge splash.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You heard of like Terrell Owens. You knew that in football, like he's a fucking moron.
Right.
And he's just out, you know, just craziness. But this
I think
guy,
I could swap out the R word for fucking moron. That has the right ring to it.
I'm telling you, fucking moron. I use that a ton.
I might be able to work with that.
I like that a lot. Right. That'd be nice.
Making progress here on Q Talk America.
It's got a bitterness to
way,
it that I need.
There's fucking something moron, about it that's moron. A coup d'etat.
It's a coup.
That is.
That's a coup d'etat right
ooh,
there.
Oh, you get those flagging me. Nah. Without lube.
I know. What?
That's not really necessary.
Oh, kind of gross.
You want to feel something.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So he is Richard Sherman is interviewed at the end of the game, et cetera, et cetera. He was very loud. He said it was loud. It was in the moment, and it was just a small part of the person that I am. And oddly, when I saw him come on the screen, we were like, whoa, okay, you are. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, that's really just kind of creepy and sad that you would do that and super unsportsmanlike. And it said, to those who would call me a thug or worse, he's saying, I'm not a villain in this. And this story came out after seeing that on Sunday. I have that Monday morning, actually. I was like, kind of Googling stuff. This guy is really pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Is what he is. He grew up in Compton. He graduated second in his class, which was in theory unheard of, like because his dad had gotten into gangs. His mom and dad still married. His dad's a trash collector.
And the football trajectory is not one about academics per se.
Exactly.
So to have right.
And he's still pissed, still to this day, at like 25, he's pissed that he graduated second in his class because he had a 4.2 GPA and it was 0.4%.
Can I tell you how gangster Harrison would be if she graduated second in her class?
Oh my God. That's awesome. Big thug.
She would have been a Cripper of Blood by the end of that ceremony. I'm just telling you.
That's fantastic. So he talks to the kids and goes back and he brings busloads up to Stanford. He, you know, as far as for the kids to be able to come up and see, you can make something of yourself. You don't have to become this gang mentality. You don't have to do this.
Right.
He is, I believe, going for his master's right now. I mean, he's not an unintelligent thug guy who got up there. It was the heat of the moment.
Right.
Was it
and,
stupid?
And very
was it...
much. And think about it. It was the last second of the game.
It was
interception.
A fucking
it was
play.
It was a shocker
brilliant
of a play.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, I did not pay attention to what I was supposed to be doing at work. I watched the end of that game.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I've been here for like 34 fucking days in a row. I'm gonna watch this 5 right. minutes. And we'll call it a break. But I watched that. So he intercepts the ball in the end zone.
He didn't intercept it. He tipped it.
Oh, he tipped
it. For the interception.
Right. And then the game ends. The game ends because everybody had timeout. So it took like 2 more minutes for the game ends.
Which made no sense.
He's pumped about winning, getting to the Super Bowl. Seattle's never been to the Super Bowls, to my knowledge, and maybe once.
No. La, la.
No, they have.
I thought the playoffs. Let me look that up.
I don't think they've ever been to the Super Bowl. To my knowledge,
so.
I don't think so.
No.
Big fucking deal. Aaron Anderson interviews him right off the field, where this guy is like high on everything they're doing at She Lounge, causing fights over dykes and dogs, and just gets a microphone.
And
for 42
Federation.
Seconds, he has a bad moment. It's the nipple gate again. If you weren't able to watch this over and over again, you would have just blown it off as like it's a bad second.
What I enjoyed most about that watching the whole little because it was on every new show, but you know he does his little thing and then he makes a comment and goes. Da, 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 you all talking about me? And there was a pause, and she goes, the reporter's like, nobody's talking about you.
But they are now.
Right. But she also, apparently,
he had his Jerry Maguire moment.
He did. And he thought, or he made a statement that apparently he apologized to Aaron Andrews because Aaron thought initially that he was talking
to her.
About her,
yeah.
To her. And that's when she's like, who is talking about you? No. Yeah, so that was really interesting. But there are a lot of things that are out there right now about him. that, you know, everyone's kind of making him into this bad guy, and he really is. It was unsportsmanlike, and it was stupid, and he looked like a moron.
Yeah.
A fucking moron is what he looked like in that moment.
It was really a bad choice. What should have been your Jerry Maguire commercial, Subway commercial, TV ad for the rest of your life went poorly for you.
Yeah. What are you doing? You're going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to kill him. Fuck
yeah, yeah.
Fuck you, fucking moron. You call me a what?
Yeah,
by the way, that was my... humble.
Your coup d'etat. That's how you're going to take
over. I was aping him.
When you take over Third Street, that's how you're going to do it, that voice.
I like it.
Your coup d'etat of Third Street.
That's right. But yeah, very, you know, very interesting and kind of sad that that would be the thing that's going to be remembered. Hopefully he gets into the Super Bowl. Whoever wins, wins, loses, whatever. But hopefully he plays a really good game and just shuts the fuck up in doing so.
And from a drunk strategic point of view, even though I picked Seattle from the beginning, because I think he's a
strategic.
I think whatever. Yeah. I think he's a hot, hot, hottie, Robomny. And Robomna. I think he's the hottest motherfucker on feet. And then they're going to put the other hottest motherfucker on feet on stage in the middle of it. It's just going to be a masturbation festival.
You know,
I
really
don't recommend coming to my house that day. Might be sticky where you're sitting.
Oh, for God's sake.
But I have to say that I think it's going to be a blowout for Denver. But okay. I think Seattle's a less of a blowout. I honestly do.
No,
I think San Francisco didn't have a prayer. I think they've backdoored their way into this. They did a little coup up the ass.
Jesus Christ.
Coup de ass.
Coup de ass.
That's right.
Ooh, that's French.
Like ooh, that is.
It's nice.
It means to take over one's ass. And now I'm just gonna do one more sports thing because I can't stress it enough. Just in case you're not listening, you're not paying attention to me, and I don't know why you wouldn't.
What do you say?
But I put it on the and it was everyone's assignment for the week.
And I didn't do it.
And you didn't fucking
do
it.
I forgot all about it, to be honest.
What was I supposed to do?
I tagged
We're
you on
watching
it.
A video. I'm supposed to watch something.
Now, I watched Jason Brown, figure skater, come in second, get his spot in the Olympics. It's all over YouTube. It's the greatest thing since Susan Lucci won the Emmy. This is the greatest video.
I'll watch it by next week.
It's on our Facebook page. Okay. And I tagged you motherfuckers, and I gave you one fucking job
Been busy.
Had a lot to do.
Who?
Jason Brown. He is going to the Olympics to represent the United States. And when he's skating, I believe he's heterosexual. So that may carry over into his real life. Although there are clues to suggest otherwise.
His Olympic village.
He is so good. And so I decided, because I had inadvertently not taped the women's championship with all the controversy. So after watching Jason Brown's video every day on my break for the last 7 days, I decided to watch the ladies. And I'm like, oh my God, they're just skating in circles. Can somebody have Jason Brown come over and do them? So please watch Jason Brown figure skating away. It's not that he's cute. It's not that he's something, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to jerk off to him. He's just so exceptionally talented. And this is one of the greatest. It's one of those performances that when you watch it, it just makes you happy. Mm. Like, you just can't help but feel the joy in the audience. And that woman that sits forward, it is a woman, that sits forward and is just waiting to find out, like, how is this going to end? Like, he's thrown every trick at us, but pulling a rabbit out of a hat and fucking a puppy. You know
Russell
what I mean?
There is nothing left. Did we do that yet? Russell Wilson. Because that's what I've been looking for this whole time.
Oh, he's so fucking hot. Russell Wilson.
Quarterback.
Now that, I want to tell you, I don't care what he does. He could stand still and read me the yellow pages, and I would probably be moist down there. That fucker's
Yes,
hot.
Of course you would.
And Colin, what's the San Francisco quarterback's name?
Kaepernick.
Kaepernick. Oh, he's a
hottie,
too.
I can't remember Russell Wilson, but I can remember Kaepernick.
He is such a fucking hottie.
He's got a lot of tattoos. He looks
he
like
needs
he just
a gay
got
following,
out of
and I'll start it.
That's weird.
May I be first?
You're first in line.
I'll take sloppy like sixth.
Yes. Now, the last thing that I have...
you just put a picture of Russell Wilson on your screen, didn't you?
Yeah, but I was making that sound of what you just said. I've seen multiple pictures of Russell Wilson.
Oh, you can't see enough. Like, as far as I'm concerned, you can blind me with pictures of him, and I'd be, okay.
He used to play baseball. Baseball, too.
He's very, very talented.
Oh, he's like the Bo Jackson of sports now, isn't he?
And then he paints black things under his eyes, and they put him on sale, and I'm like, oh, my God.
And he does men's fitness sports magazine layouts and stuff. Very busy.
If he goes on The Bachelor, I will watch 20 women humiliate themselves.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And pray I was every one of those 20.
Oh, Katie, I'm sorry. Myrna? Myra?
Moira.
Moira?
Aaron.
Done with
Moira Aaron. Ooh, now we got your name.
I'm Marin.
You done with your sports? Are we done with that?
What's your stuff part?
So the only stuff part was that we didn't talk about it last week. I had this, and I don't know if anyone here saw it. Al, about Katie Couric, her interview with
Sarah
Carmen
Palin.
Carrera and Laverne Cox.
Oh, yes. Oh, that was so good.
I don't know.
There was it was basically what this is on CNN was what not to say to a transgender person.
Oh.
Because Katie had
And Laverne Cox from Orange is the New Black.
Right.
Brilliant performance by a transgendered actress.
Oh.
On Orange is the New Black.
So Katie Couric interviewed these two and they're both male to female transsexual women. Who are enjoying a level of mainstream success in their respective fields. They were interviewed for an episode for Couric called Transgender Trailblazers. It says, my hopes, the writer says, my hopes were swiftly dashed the moment Couric stuttered to Couric. So your private parts are different now, aren't they?
Why would you even say that?
Carrera, clearly taken aback, handled the question with poise, politely informing Couric that she was uncomfortable talking about such personal information as her genitals, as anyone might be.
Right.
So apparently that wasn't enough. Couric raised the question to Cox later on in the show.
The unfortunately named
Laverne Cox deftly added that focusing so much attention on transgender people's bodies objectifies them. More critically, she noted, the focus on private parts diverts the cultural discussion from more relevant and pressing issues, such as the violence and discrimination trans people and trans women of color especially face every day in this country. So it was just very interesting.
I missed all that.
What's her name that we had the thing Sunday and Monday at Charlie's for?
Miss Ebony.
Her sister. Right. Transgender.
Oh, my God. What an amazing... When somebody stood up and told me that Miss Ebb's sister used to be a boy and now she's a girl, I'm like, get out of here.
And early on, like an early...
Very early.
And
she's beautiful and eloquent and nice and does a lot for all the communities, not just the gay and lesbian community or GLBTQ. She's just
LFMO.
Amazing. What?
LMAFM.
Just the whole alphabet. Now, and the other thing, and I think the thing that gets overlooked a lot about Laverne Cox, she's new to the public persona.
Right.
But I think what gets overlooked on Orange is the New Black, which one of the actresses was just put in a medically induced coma.
Yes.
She's getting better, the older black woman.
Right.
But I can't think of her name. But the thing that gets overlooked about Laverne Cox is what a great actress she is. Like,
She was in The Help. No.
Yes. Laverne Cox, I believe, was. Let me...
I'm not sure of that, but I discovered her on Orange is the New Black, and just a brilliant performance. And it doesn't matter whether it was a man or a woman. It was just a great performance in a really well-written role. I mean, Jenji Cohen... I really messed that up. The woman that wrote Weeds writes Orange is the New Black.
Oh, okay.
And just a brilliant writing job. For that show, and it's
Michelle Hurst is the name of the actress who was, she's actually just been brought out of that. It was a serious car crash.
Yeah. And what's her character's name on there? Because I can't think of it. She doesn't run the kitchen, but what does she run? She had some part of the chicken.
She plays a prison inmate, Miss Claudette.
Miss Claudette. She runs.
Thank God for Google.
Oh, thank God for Google. And seriously, if you're not watching Orange is the New Black, I have to pray for your soul. It's just brilliant. And if you're a fan of actresses like I am and you want to see a TV any kind of a show where it's all women in really strong roles, this is it.
And by the way, the reason she was put into a medically induced coma was because she was in a really bad car accident and it was the only way that they could be sure that she didn't move during some really crucial spinal surgeries that she had to go through.
Yeah, so that was from what I heard, she's waking up and hopefully doing better.
Oh,
but another one. I mean, it really is a league of brilliant actresses. So if you're a fan of actresses or good parts for women, Orange is the New Black. Like me, I don't really give a shit about actors, but actresses, because I want to be one.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
That I'm finding was not in The Help. I thought was.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. No. I had never seen. I'm pretty good about Googling someone who I've not seen before and impresses me like that.
Yeah, I really thought that.
Let me tell you, this iPad comes from our TV a lot.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so anyway, but very interesting that Katie Couric went and just, you know, kind of fucked that up. So there are just very quickly a few things that you should never apparently ask a transgendered person. You look so real. I never would have known.
Ugh.
What do you do with your wife? I don't know. This is apparently, I think this is because of this guy.
Yeah.
What do you do with yours? Don't assume I or any other transgender person want to be asked about my sex life any more than you do. So it's basically sex life stuff.
Because transgendered is not a sexual thing. It's an identity thing. And I think that's the hard thing for all
that's
of us
where
to grasp.
Get, yeah. And
I think it's
including.
Hard for all of us to grasp.
And yeah. I have to tell you, it's hard for the gays and lesbians as much as it is for
it's
the
not,
straight people.
It's not a similar
to
issue.
Comprehend,
right, right.
Be
but
around
everybody gets
and
clumped.
Understand. Like, I have them come into my bar all the time. They were there Friday night, and there was probably 11 of them. And people were, like, walking around their table. Come on.
Yeah.
And I, what's really that about?
And that shames me that we're all that ignorant.
Right. Yeah. And I throw around the female
trans?
Pronoun. I'm a big, you know, yeah. I throw around the female pronoun probably more than anybody should. Because, again, I find it funny. It just makes me giggle. But at the same time, comfortable with the penis. Don't want to lose it. Like,
right.
It's decorative at this point.
And when I go over to the table, you're right.
Well, it's like a Christmas
like
tree. It bears no fruit.
I like that.
Ring your bell, honey.
When I go over there and talk to them, they're like, "You're talking to us?"
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And it's a very that's why I don't like the lumping of initials, because it's a very different issue. And we need to sensitize ourselves, or whatever the word is that makes it sound like we're getting circumcised. But we have to acclimate ourselves or assimilate ourselves to their world, and it's not ours. It's not what we're going through. It's not the same issue.
Well, and
so
the,
to throw our letters together makes it seem like we're all on the same team. Right. And no, we have learning to do on our side too.
Oh, big time. And that's
it's like
where
vegans. I don't like you.
Well, and to make a vegan a vegetarian, not okay. Like, to use that analogy.
Right, right.
Vegetarians and vegans are like, no, completely fucking separate.
Yeah, one of you I'm not going to dinner with.
Right, exactly.
Oh, one of you I'm going to buy tamales, the other one,
aren't
stay home.
Aren't all lesbians vegans?
Not this one.
I'm kidding.
what is it, pecatarians? Yep. or whatever they're called.
Oh, What's that paleologist or whatever the fuck? Shut up.
Or just any of that. Katie's new diets?
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Another thing would be to say, I don't care. You'll always be a girl to me. So people that are just insensitive. It's insensitive.
Yeah.
Aren't you afraid of getting beaten up? Meet my friend Tyson.
Isn't everyone?
He's a transgender.
What?
Like the,
what,
you know.
What?
Meet my friend Tyson. He's a friend, transgender. The idea that, you know.
You have to explain them first.
Right. Absolutely.
That's like when somebody, here's my gay friend Al. You're going to figure it out in the next 5 minutes on your own.
Well, less than that if you're talking.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't think it'll
I'm
be rare, that long,
I'm rarely
y'all.
That slow, but thanks.
When did you have the surgery? When did you realize you were gay? And it says for the when did you realize you were gay? I know this is confounding, but it's important to understand that sexuality, whom you're attracted to, and gender identity, what gender you identify as, are two different things, and often unrelated. Trans people can be gay, straight, bisexual, asexual, pansexual. Remember the pansexual? I don't understand that. Basically, any sexuality a non-trans person can express.
Right.
So that's where
and I throw it out there because I want to be best actress, but I don't want to be a woman.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
When they announce my name, I want it to be best actress. Just because that's what I aspire. Like, that's the people that I, like, most admire is women actors, not that I want. You know what I mean? Like,
Katie,
the pronoun thing, it's
good
very
for
confused.
You, Al.
But it the
I
pronoun-
have no tolerance. No tolerance for anyone who thinks lesser of anyone, whether it's a
we mock the fuck out of people here.
I know,
but it's
I
but
know.
It's a little bit,
oh my God.
You know,
it's happened
different.
At my bar a couple of times.
Yeah, a couple times,
I went on Facebook and I just lambasted people.
No, but
I
that's
hate
right.
It.
But we're in looking at it. The idea that there are things that we don't understand that we'll talk about that, you know, whatever, and we have, I think, good conversations about it. The interesting piece, no matter the specifics, it says, gender does not boil down to the presence or absence of a penis, unless someone volunteers volunteers to talk about the subject. Transgender people's private parts, like everybody else's, are best left private.
Yeah.
So, interesting that Katie Couric, like, as much as thinking, oh, the public wants to know.
We've been good friends for a long time. Right. We've never discussed our genitalia.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just met you, and I'm not going to ask you either. But there's just no reason to.
I'm good with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm hung like a bear.
Yeah, sure.
I do these things sometimes just for his reaction. Yeah. That's all.
But I think that's a very honest thing to say, is that I've never discussed anyone except for Carlton, because he mentions his big balls all the time.
Who's Carlton?
Jason Carlton.
Jason Carlton.
Oh.
And you've probably seen them if you've been out in public. But other than that, like, right. like that's right. the only person whose genitalia has ever been a topic of conversation anywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's it for sports and other stuff.
Thank God, because now we go on to the next section.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
All right, so we're going to talk about assimilation.
No, that's him. I'm so glad to bring somebody into the cast who's never, ever listened to our fucking show and has no idea how it goes.
I'm too busy.
Can't tell.
Not obvious at all.
Right. So, okay go ahead.
So,
Al.
We're going to talk about assimilation, which is one of my favorite topics. And it's what it's Laura Z. Dobson, I think, is her name. And the book is called Consenting Adults. And it's, I'm not sure if it applies outside of the Jewish faith, but she talks a lot about assimilation and what you do to make yourself part of the community, like assimilation, in case. You know, we're at third grade education levels to the listeners. You drop the ski from your name to change your name from Kowalski to Kowal. You know, you do things to make yourself less ethnic. And you make yourself less of the tribe and more of the general population. So, is there something to be said for the Rosie O'Donnells of the world who've stayed kind of bull dykey? Or the Neil Patrick Harris, who stayed the prototypical gay male? Or is there something to be said for the rugby player, the really tough rugby player from, I want to say, Australia or New Zealand? Like, what's the way to go to pass? Isn't that an awful word from West Side Story? Like, how does assimilation work? Like, do you feel like you can be the true self, or do you have to be an assimilated version and make yourself more generic
all the time, or
in different situations?
Like
how do you feel, and do you feel that so we'll have a follow-up question. We have enough time, so go start with the first part.
I think that it's a matter of being true to yourself. And I don't know if I'm going into your follow-up thing. That's why I was kind of looking to, but, you know, because in different situations, whether it's about being gay or being a bulldog or being more feminine, blah, 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 whatever, when you go to work, you might be a certain way. You have to put on a certain face. You have to do certain things. Some people do, some people don't.
Right.
And some of it's not by choice. Like if you're, like, there's no way in social work that for me to walk in as kind of, you know, just this hardcore, I'm going to say whatever I think and whatever I feel and fuck you.
Right, right, right.
I'm not going to do well.
Right.
So I will not be successful.
So you have to assimilate.
You have to. And now, are there things that will come up while I'm in some of those kind of situations where I go, no. Well, we talked about that Tuesday on the show, you know, where you're like, oh, that maybe I was a little out of line. But otherwise, yeah, you have to. I have to, speaking for myself. I definitely have to.
But you can make a generalization. Do you feel like that we all have to be kind of homogenous in the general world to get along?
And I'm going
to
say straight, gay, homogenous out of my ass. I like that. Yeah, well, that's a coup.
There's room for it.
Yeah. what a coup of the English language.
There you are.
Una lengua. Idioma. Yeah.
cameras. I think yes, that everybody does though. That certainly it's not a gay, straight, black, white, pink, purple thing. It's just, I think everybody does to a degree, whatever degree that is.
Yep. So, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stacy, living, I mean, you're kind of making your living in the professional gay world, as my friend Tim would say, because we're all training for the Olympics. what are your thoughts on this? And plus, you didn't come out till far later in life than any of us.
What? 18 years ago?
Yeah. The math has changed like 3 times in this conversation.
My how time flies.
Those fractions are hard.
Yeah.
I had all my digits.
I think in the mid-90s when I did my coming out thing, I shed all the worried about what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any animosities towards people who have problems with me, and I love everybody who understands who I am, or mm-hmm. who Clayton is, or who you are, or any of us. I mean, Marnie's got a wife. Oh my God, she's a lesbian. Why does that matter?
Bible? No. Right, but we're talking about assimilation, like how you, like when you deal with businesses, when you deal with like Hensley, or is it United Liquor still? Is that one of the companies? Yeah. When you deal with them, do like, is there any sense of like making it more generic to make them? I mean, not that either company has a problem because they are as gay friendly as gay friendly can be.
Business, Stacy, and social, Stacy.
Perfect example. Okay, all right,
same thing.
Very good.
My Hensley, my Alliance, my Crescent Crown, all of those guys. The very first day they came to my bar, I made it perfectly clear: this is a gay and lesbian bar, and they went, "Which is it?" And I'm like, "It's both," and they're like, "Oh, okay." I have no problem telling people who I am, what I want, and how I'm going to do it.
All right, a brief follow-up question. Like, how grateful are you then to like the gays of the 70s that like fought Coors Light and got that kind of, as a gay bar owner, like how appreciative are you of like the struggle before where people were like, you will like us or we will not sell your beer? Like, does that resonate still?
Yeah, it does.
Because I think it does with Hensley.
I think that I could do better with some products from some companies, but I don't care to, because although they are part of the gay, promoting the gay people these days, lesbians, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use the word gay.
You can clump me. I'm fine.
Yeah, so now we're GLW, gay, lesbian, whatever.
Whatever.
I like that better. Now that I've said it out loud, I like it better.
I like the W.
I like the W.
I just bought a letter. New acronym.
I'm going to give you $250 for that consonant.
I do later. Not care.
I'll write you a check.
All right. Big one.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want everybody to know who I am. I was in the closet way too many years, and I'm gone. I'm not there anymore.
Right.
I'm a gay man. My family knows. Everybody that's important to me knows. Clayton, I'm just kidding.
Deaf, dumb, and blind people can see your gay, Stacey.
I know. You know, it's there should not be an issue.
And the question is just assimilation. Like what? Like who comes out? At what point do you come out? Like the Robin Roberts.
Robin Roberts on
Robert
ABC.
Roberts. Yeah.
Good Morning America.
And forgetting, and not that it made any difference, but the fact that she started in sports. And I had, like, it had been so many, to me, it had been so many years that here she was.
In the 80s with ESPN.
Someone from the sports world coming out in this situation. And I was like, oh, I forgot about her beginnings. But she had assimilated so much and was so a part of, like, American culture that you didn't think of her as, like, I didn't really care who she was dating.
Let
like,
me it tell made, you.
Right.
When I get people in there at the bar or at any bar I've ever worked at and they don't know what to do with their situation, I become their best friend. I'm there for them. I want them to be who they want to be. And if I can give them any help by what I've gone through, and I can, I will.
Oh, yeah. The bar therapy thing is very real part of our community, I think.
Yeah.
And I think underrated part of our community. Clayton McKee.
Wait, one more thing. Go. Uh-huh.
You must remember that the gay, lesbian, whatever bar is not the only outlet for gay and lesbians in this city.
Oh, no. Thank God, because I don't leave the house. So.
And I have to tell you, it's amazing how many of our people, the gay people, are not out that I meet at functions like Gay Pride and what's the other one at Heritage Park?
Rainbow Festival.
Rainbow Festival. It's amazing how many people I meet, and they're all part of the group.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's the joy of the outdoor festivals is you meet the people that don't go to the bars.
Yeah.
That are doing the indoor gay thing.
Yeah.
Clayton McKee.
When you initially started talking about this, you were talking about like dropping the ski off of off the last name.
Yeah, some assimilation.
I never felt that there was any stigma with my name because of the Irishman. So I never had to worry about that part of it. But in regards to just the assimilation into, I agree with what Marnie said. I think for me too, it goes into different areas. I mean, if you walk into an arena where you know that there may be a problem, but you've got business to conduct or whatever. Okay, you just deal with it differently, and there's no reason to walk into a client's office if you know you're going into a, like, for case example, there was a strip club here in town that wanted a point of sale system, and this was a few years ago, and I went in and met with them, and I knew right off the bat that these were people that really I didn't want to waste my time with, only right. because I knew that there down the road this was going to be an issue, there was going to be some sort of an issue problem. Unfortunately, we never did business with them. But I knew going in, you know, you don't go on, hey, girl, what's up? You know,
right.
We know that.
Right, right, right.
And you just know when to tone it down and you know when to do, you know, there's a time and a place for all of that. So I never felt, or I don't feel now that I have to, it's not a worry. It's just, it's kind of an automatic thing. It just happens and it happens here or there. But I'm very fortunate because most of my clients are like Stacey or, you know, we hate most of the gay bars in town, a lot of the restaurants and so my, the lack of having to do that is more often than not. I never have to think about it.
Right. So okay, we have 7 minutes, so I can do this whole thing. In a way, what that does is if you keep your honestly, this is one of those times where like what I'm going to say is skewing the line. The assimilation question is very touchy, but what it is you're staying kind of ghettoized, like you're staying within the realm of.
You're staying in.
We're
Compton.
A gay company. Thank you. Like we're a gay company staying in gay bars. We're supporting this. Are we comfortable? Can we branch out? Can we just be this company and go to other places? And I know you have because like you have, you know, Johnny Rockets. You have other companies that you're working with. But that's the thing is like that's what assimilation is. Do you stay in the ghetto, mm-hmm. in the gay ghetto, or are you able to branch out? And what do you feel about like? What you have to put forward. Does that make sense with assimilation?
No, it makes sense. But I think less and less of that. Again.
So the question is with assimilation is, does the world think less and less of it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is the assimilation coming from you putting out something more bland, less gay forward? Or is the world just like, that's just part of the culture now. Like, just absorb it up, move
on, go
forward.
It is what it is,
yeah. Like, which way, does that make sense of what I'm saying? Or am I just
no, I think it
a
does.
Bottle of wine in?
Are you going to...
You are that too.
Well, because...
Thank you. Thank you for noticing.
The idea is that I'm not going to fit whatever you want me to fit. But if I walk into, like Clayton's saying, you walk into a situation and you assess the situation.
And you act appropriately for the situation right. and you give them the thing. But then do
it doesn't
they
mean
just
I'm gonna tone
like,
something down or become someone I'm not. I'm not going to push it to some
we're gonna talk business.
Phony.
We're gonna go in right. and we're just gonna do business and right. there's no other thing. Does that make sense of what yeah. you're doing and how does that fit into the game plan of what you do?
Again, I don't think about it. I think there's a time and a place for everything. So mm-hmm. I would never go into whether it's gay or not. I mean, though the restaurants that I deal with, you know, with Mark Howard, Tom Jelen, maybe
it's a friendly
it's
relationship.
A friendly thing,
yeah.
But
if McDonald's corporate calls you and they want the Edge point of, they want right. Edge Studios right. to come in, you're not going to walk in there.
No.
And be like in your yay gay,
right.
you know,
but why would you ever
t-shirt.
Now, are there yay gay t-shirts available?
Because I have one.
But
I honest to God have one.
Yeah. But to me, it's the same thing. You wouldn't, to use Compton as an example because you've already brought it up, you wouldn't walk into a McDonald's corporate meeting and start throwing gang signs. You don't do that. That's just.
Oh, no.
But that's not. I don't. I guess if you're putting a word of assimilation on it, I don't. That's not what I. That's what I classify.
So in the effort to keep going viral, so do you go in? Do you go in somewhere with like the tats up to the neck or the face? Do you know what I mean about assimilation? So let's say you hired somebody. Just 1 second. You hire somebody who's good at computers, but they're tatted up.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, because that's one of those things that you can't hide.
Right.
Do you send them in to somewhere all like that, or can they assimilate? Can they just be? Can someone just see them as like the person that's really good at computers, or are they only going to see that tattoo?
As long as they present themselves.
Right. I think it's how they conduct themselves. You could be as inked up as, you know, anybody who just got out of prison. And as long as you know what you're doing, and that happens all the time. These people who are hackers or all these crazy people out there, they get hired by big companies because they know their shit.
Right.
Now, they don't give a shit what they look like.
Right.
And I would even say Shane, Jason's boyfriend, is a prime example. Oh. He's got ink on his neck.
But
he's inker.
Lovely. Like,
no, I agree with that. But he's being put in. He's an incredible makeup artist, and he's being put in high-end stores where all these ladies come in, blah, blah, blah. But he's excellent at what he does.
Oh, that's a good idea because he's dealing with the assimilated. He's dealing with all the different people pretending they're white women.
Right.
That's a good example. Good example.
You're
welcome. And I'm in because he's such a fucking hottie.
He is.
And now, sir.
The time went by so
quickly. You got 90 seconds.
Now, I have to tell you, though.
You have less than 90 seconds.
Okay. 15 seconds.
Cool.
We don't do this to our friends because they're gay. We go in there to get their business without showing our tattoos or our effeminacy or things like that. And I have found that with all of my reps of any kind, whether it be Edge Studios or any of the liquor reps or whatever it is.
And I, brilliant point. And on that, because I just love hearing your voice as well.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, I mean, The thing that came up recently on this thing is like last night I was shoved into a situation where like the room was on fire, shit was hitting the fan, and someone was like, "You go in there, you're good at this, and you're calm." And I'm like,
"Yeah,
I'm calm." Like that's what all of you take out of my personality is I'm calm. And then someone through the course of a really shitty evening was like, "Oh, it's a little bit light with you in here." So I'm like, I'm light and calm. Mm-hmm. Like that's how my day goes
in those situations.
But that's the assimilation. Like I'm as gay as I can be, and there's no one questioning my sexuality. But when you deal with me at work, I'm the lighter to work with, not weight wise, calmer person.
Right.
So it's a very strange thing. That wasn't my point at all. We'll get to it some other
time. We could probably talk on this for a lot more down the road.
I can't imagine how you got off track.
Whew, you've done it. You wasted 3 more hours listening to us talk. It's the Clayton McKee Show, or it's, I've just named it that now, apparently on Q-Talk America. It's the show with Clayton McKee.
It's only a wish fulfillment.
By the way, he assimilated himself.
Katie June will be back next week. Thank you, Stacey Lewis, for joining us this weekend.
Great time.
It was a
coup.
Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, we will leave you with this. We will
see you next Tuesday.
The show on Q-Talk America.